From the Showcase Allstate Studios in beautiful downtown Chicago, it's Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. Tonight, Patty welcomes...
Wait, is it my turn? Oh, where did I put everything? We have guest Patty, I swear. Veterinarian Dr. Max, she's going to talk about pets. We have a singer. There's a singer, she's coming in to sing stuff. Natalie Gaza is going to sing. The wine fairy is bringing us food, pizza, other stuff, wine maybe. And comedian. There's a comedian coming in. Yeah, Brad Tassel.
All that and more on Pretty Late. And now your host, the lovely Patty Vasquez.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Well, because we're starting early, so we're all trying to find where all the paperwork is. You and I didn't remember until, like, maybe 9:45? Oh, wait a minute. We're starting right away.
And by the way, I'm not really an announcer type.
But
I'm putting that out there.
I'm going to need you to announce. I want you Dan Levy to be in charge.
Yeah.
I like the blend.
I'm going to keep going.
I think with both of your voices, it's like music on that intro.
I think we're pretty much the same.
Harmonic,
in our approach.
Even.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. The unplugged. That's Dan and you, and maybe you should be unplugged. That was great.
Yeah, well, thank you.
I liked it. I liked the contrast, I think people would say.
I went the other way.
The deep bass tones of one Dan Levy and the... I'm not really sure how to pronounce
that. How to describe what I did.
Dr. Marks. Her name is
Dr. Marks.
Brad Tassel, Joseph Giannini, and Natalie. And we're not sure now you've
no,
made
you,
me question.
No, you were right.
Gaza?
Yeah, it's Gaza.
Is it?
Yeah, because I spoke to her. It's Gaza.
All right, then.
Yeah,
so,
I panicked. The bright light came on in the recording studio. I didn't know what happened.
All right.
Blacked out for most of
that. Hey, it was your first time out of the gates. First time out of the
gates. It's probably going to sound like that every time.
Is it really?
Yeah, I think
I'll take it.
Right.
I'll take what I can get. It's kind of like my life. I'll take what I can get. Hey, I've lived in Chicago my entire life. I will take what I can get. Everything sounds about right. You know? Oh, really? The red light cameras are a scam? Sounds about right.
Yeah, that's how we approach politics and stuff. Just whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Sure.
So I just did that.
That's happening.
Yeah, that just happened.
Uh-huh. Speaking of just happening, I never really gave much thought to the shoot the puck, mostly because I've never been to a Blackhawks game, but apparently this is a big story this week, at least for Blackhawks fans, and the Blackhawks organization has decided they will no longer play the stripper, which begs the question to many people like me, why is there a stripper out on the ice? Is there a stripper? Apparently, during shoot the puck. Why can't they let the stripper play? The stripper's got rights.
No, there's not a stripper out on the ice, Patty Vasquez.
Oh, no? Why are they not going to play the stripper? Who's the stripper?
Usually what happens is there are three people that go out for the shoot the puck.
Okay.
One's a dork like myself. Another one is a very attractive woman, such as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third is usually a kid, something cute.
So just if you add in a dog, you'd have a perfect Doritos commercial.
I think so. So the dork steps out onto the ice, like me, and gets booed. Generally, we miss the net by a wide margin. Now the attractive woman comes out, and they play the stripper.
How attractive? Are they always just smoking hot?
A bimbo. Yeah.
A bimbo?
Sure.
Wow,
sure.
We just went there. That happened on my show. We called her a bimbo. Are they fans that are just randomly?
No, they're fans, and I don't know how they're selected. I mean, either they're plucked from the audience or...
Well, now we're plucking bimbos during a Blackhawks game.
If you want to combine the two, sure.
I guess
plucking bimbos. So they pluck a bimbo.
No more plucking bimbos during Blackhawks games.
And she comes out on the ice. Normally, she's in something tight. And
no, this
she
sounds
gets
classy.
To shoot
this totally
the
sounds
puck.
Okay. What is the crowd's reaction to the child coming out? Is it usually very supportive? And yeah, look at the kid; he's excited.
Generally,
he's
yes.
playing where his heroes play.
The kid gets to go first, and so everyone's really mm-hmm. on board with that and clapping. And if he makes the puck, it's amazing. And then
how hard is it to make the puck? Because I tried looking this up. Isn't it like it's all blocked except for the five hole?
So there's tough, three holes. There's three holes the first time, and then if you make one of those, then you get to shoot the other way. And Nick DiGilio made both,
ooh.
So it can be done.
Okay.
But then the girl walks out and they hear a little bit of a...
What?
Nice.
No. They do not play this.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Hold on a second. My soul just threw up a little bit. Hold on a second.
And
the
lady is
in front of,
quite
what's the seating capacity of the stadium?
Not small.
21,000, 22,000.
Sounds about right.
So she comes out, and there are women and kids there too, right? So they're playing music. So now
there's a child on the ice actually who just shot the puck.
And that music to you means what? Take off your clothes, right?
Well,
so have any
bit,
of the shoot the puck girls?
No.
This music does not imply to you take off your clothes.
To me, it does. To a 9-year-old shooting the puck, I don't think so.
No, not playing it for the 9-year-old.
Yeah,
they're playing
it
for the
head,
they're playing for the plucking bimbo.
Right. Wait, but the children aren't offended. You were asking if the children would be offended. They're not offended because they don't know any
they
better.
They don't know any right. To the 20, no, I'm talking about the 21,000 fans in the seats. Maybe,
they seem to get a charge out of it.
They, all of them.
Sure.
Get a charge.
Well,
the ones
I
that
don't
are
know.
Not paying.
I haven't interviewed each and every one of them.
I'm
not sure
need
exactly
you to. I'm
who's
in.
Offended.
312-981-7200.
What if you're offended.
What if, no, I don't even need to care if you're offended. What have you been your, what's been the range of your emotions during this event? I'm curious because the implication is take off your clothes. Then, I had to play the music again for me.
Okay.
Then I can't do music. You know, no, close it down. No, because we may never hear it again. It's not going to be played at the United Center.
See, but this is more, this music implies more burlesque to me as opposed to, hey, let's welcome Candy to the stage. Everybody give Candy a big round of applause.
Which, is it completely appropriate during the shoot the puck when the other two people are not, they're not, they don't play like Barney,
you know,
I love
was,
you.
It was fun.
You love
they're
me.
They're not going to do it anymore.
We're just, no. And then for Okay, so now the plucking bimbo walks out to this music.
They actually played this exact same song at the end of Slapshot.
Yes, because they take their clothes off.
Right.
Okay, wait.
Yes,
did you call
it's
her
funny.
The plucking
it's funny.
Bimbo. Is
because
that what
they
you
pluck.
Said?
They pluck.
I know they pluck the bimbo, but now, we don't have to call her a plucking bimbo.
But we've plucked the bimbo
she
randomly,
plucked, yeah.
Allegedly randomly. Happens to be in tight clothing
well,
and heels.
How random you find a cute girl. I mean, I worked at a minor league baseball place for a while, and we used to get girls that would compete during these events, and they'd always be cute. You
and I did not, by the way, I did not give the name Bimbo.
No, that
plucking
Rob,
bimbo.
No, that, Rob did
I,
that.
I put that in there. That's fine. I'll take
right.
heat for that.
You just turned it into an adjective.
I'm just saying plucking. I have to write that down because I think I'm going to have to buy that website, pluckingbimbo.com.
Pardon me. Let me apologize to all of those I offended out there. An attractive young woman. Is that better?
Yes.
What I'm sensing from your tone of voice is that you are defending the plucking bimbo situation.
I'm not defending anything.
I'm not accusing you. I'm not trying to be confrontational. I want to understand the situation.
Can I go out on a ledge and defend it?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think outside of maybe the song, which is obviously the biggest, most inappropriate thing, the putting an attractive girl on the ice is okay.
Every single time it happens to be a hot chick. Every single time.
It's a sports
so,
event.
So telling the rest of the women in the audience, you have no chance.
Well, okay,
if you are
so,
bigger than a size 2,
the only guy that gets to go is typically a celebrity of some kind.
By the way.
So none of the men in the audience actually get to go either. They're left out. It's
well,
a kid. It's not always an idiot, Rob. For the most part, they try to get a celebrity, and if there is no celebrity, then they pick an adult guy who's kind of
a doofus.
Correct.
A doofus.
So right.
But for more often than not, more games than not, they do have some kind of celebrity there to shoot, so there's no guy and no adult woman that get picked outside of this cute girl, and then there's a kid. So no guys
Craig,
get to go at all.
Yeah, Craig is absolutely right. It was back in the day when I started going to Hawks games at the stadium with my dad. It was always some dork. And the dork got booed up one side and down
right.
the other.
See, now that's my concern.
And then you juxtapose that with the lovely young lady.
Right. Right. So you have to pick
with
a
what
size.
Music? With the lovely young lady.
With
what music?
The stripper music.
Then, bon, why don't they just play bon chicken, bon bon, and like the plumber shows up?
Okay.
Like,
I mean, I see your point.
Hey,
you're making a
hey,
good
Adam
point.
Chappelle, do you have any thoughts on this particular topic? I don't want to leave you out of the conversation up in traffic.
I just, I don't get the whole thing behind, because like that music, maybe it's just me, it doesn't say, I know it's called the stripper.
Mm-hmm.
It means absolutely nothing to me. I go, okay, it's a piece of music.
Really? Ba-na-na-na. Bah! That's me. That is burlesque music, and it implies the removal of clothing. And I'm going to bang this countertop.
But that song
it evokes thoughts of she should be naked.
That song was recorded in 1958.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a lot of that
it's
kind of orchestra
that makes it classy.
Music to it.
It's got good organ. It's good organ music.
It does.
Literally.
Think
for
about,
your,
think
for
about
all
the
males and their
Patty,
organs. Yes.
Think about the music today that they could play from some people that are contemporary, that are played on the radio. Some of the more degrading things we could play for people.
What music are they playing for the little boy and the dork?
I would rather have that than anything Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
Just
what,
throw
amen.
That out there
what
for
are they playing
yeah,
during
ball?
What are they playing during the child?
I don't think they play
and
anything.
The dork.
I don't think they play anything.
All right, then. So her hotness is not enough?
Apparently.
Would you rather have that or Baby Elephant Walk? You decide.
What's Baby Elephant Walk? I like
Yakety
that.
Yakety Sax all okay. day
or
long.
Yakety Sax. There you go.
Icky Sax. Don't talk back? Is that with Yakety Sax?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yakety Sax. Hey, you know what? Don't talk back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that works for me. Baby Elephant, that works for me. It's got a little fun. Yeah. As a matter of fact,
Mancini, Henry Mancini.
Is it? I don't. I like it.
Yes, it is.
So we are talking about the fact that the Blackhawks will no longer be playing the music "The Stripper." Can you play that again for me? During the shoot the puck segment of the Blackhawks game, which comes when after the second period, and all the teams are in their locker rooms, either being chewed out or being given a pep talk. Is that what's happening? And some people are running out for beer, and some people want to see the kid and the doofus and the bim. There you go, the bimbo. That they ran, not bimbo, and I'm not calling her a bimbo. That was other people's words. We're not going to point fingers at anybody on this show. But
Rob did it. It was Rob.
And you threw me under the bus. That's right. Fine.
Oh, look out for those back wheels. Boom. I have to say, here's what I'm. Well, first of all, before we move on, so they randomly, allegedly, pluck a woman from the audience that Rob has said tends to be a bimbo type. But see, the thing is, she's attractive. So it is kind of judging a woman for being attractive negatively. I don't know what.
Wait a minute.
Not you. I'm saying women would.
Why is judging a woman as attractive all of a sudden now become a negative thing?
You called her a bimbo. By the way, based on the way she dresses?
Okay.
Rob's starting to gather the thoughts.
Yes.
But
no.
Yes.
But if we're going into what you're saying and she's attractive, that's not a negative thing.
No, but when you call her a bimbo, that's implying that it's a negative thing. So you're saying from my point of view, I would think that she was a bimbo?
No, from your point of view, you'd probably think she was an attractive young woman.
I watched a couple of these. They're like wearing skinny jeans and low cut sweaters, and they also already have the ice girls that are wearing like bikini, like jerseys cut up.
And they're lovely as well. Yes.
So how much more do you need during the game that an average female fan can't get on the ice? And I'm about to cuss and I won't do it. And have her shot as well. I have plenty of friends who don't fit the category of what you are describing.
But by the way, when and if they do,
now there's going to be D-bag fans. They're going to boo that girl because she's not a hottie. And now I'm getting angry.
Well, so let's say that we do that we put, you know, an average female fan on the ice and people get upset. Are we also going to put a ridiculously hot normal dude on?
Yes, let's do that. I mean, like,
is that fair then, Patty?
If we keep the hot chick, then we also need to have a hot dude. I want him with no shirt on.
How is that any different than my wife and legions of other Blackhawks fans loving the fact that Patrick Sharp is with the Blackhawks?
But he's wearing all of his clothes.
The guy is
all of his
stunning.
Gear.
He's fantastically good looking. I would love to look like Patrick Sharp.
And why don't they play Take Your Clothes Off music when he's playing?
Well, because it doesn't really go into the context of him being.
It doesn't go in the context of this girl coming out on the ice and just shooting him.
It doesn't make
38% of the fans in the stands are women. And what I'm surprised by is that it took this long for someone to raise their hand at the convention and go, hey, is there any chance you might stop playing the stripper? But here's where it came from. It came from fans, female fans, who were just done with it. I also don't want to buy a pink jersey or pink baseball hat. I like my teams and I want them to win, and I'm not I'm a fan. That's it. I'm sorry. Joe, yes, sir?
Yes, I would like permission to use the Plucking Bimbos as the name for a rock and roll band.
You would like permission for that? Oh, I don't.
Yes.
Go ahead. It's all yours, big guy.
Thank you so much. We'll dress appropriately on stage. Take care.
All right. There you go. I don't know what that means. I am surprised it took this long for someone to raise their hand. I mean, like, what a ballsy move from a girl. Or a woman, whatever, for someone to go, excuse me, I'm just wondering, because I'm betting you they didn't expect that kind of a question at the convention, right? Because it's all like fan support. So why? I mean, like, if it makes the women uncomfortable, and I'm not a, I'm a Jill come lately to this.
Nice.
Jenny come lately to
That's
this.
That's nice.
So I didn't know. I knew about the ice girls wearing midriffs and like the little, like, it's not a Hooters. It's a Blackhawks game. You know,
but there's cheerleaders at you know, football games.
And are
you saying that we have to do away with all of these things? All of these things exist because they all objectify women?
But they're also, the thing is, and I really do have the problem with the music, because it implies take off your clothes.
Okay, the music is one thing that seems to be going too far.
And it's supposed to be randomly taking a fan out of the stands.
It's not true for a guy either. That's not
they're
the
all
premise.
Planted. The guys are always planted.
It's not planted, but that's not the premise of the bit at all. It's a kid that's randomly selected, and then a doofus of a guy or a celebrity, and an attractive girl. It's not just an average guy,
but it's always
too.
An attractive girl every single time.
And it's always
there's
an
a reason
guy.
For that. There's a reason why you always have an attractive woman.
Okay, go ahead.
You have the stigma from a business standpoint that if you have a very attractive woman, chances are she is not going to be athletic. She's not going to have the hockey skills.
This sounds even worse.
To put the puck in the net.
And you're saving yourself money. That's
exactly.
She's going to have heels on. She's not going to have good balance. She's going to walk out there very daintily.
Now, let me ask you this.
Yes.
Would you be just as apt to defend the doofus getting booed by the crowd as you are right now defending the attractive young lady walking out onto the ice to the music, the stripper? Because to me, they're kind of one and the same. You got some goofy looking guy, you know, such as myself, getting booed by the fans. Where's my defense? Do I get defended?
Right. Yeah. Why can guys be the butt of a joke, but women can't be?
Do I have a Patty Vasquez coming to my rescue?
But do they play like dork music?
No. What I'm asking though is that you have the crowd booing the goofy looking guy.
Do they boo him?
Yes.
See, and that's not part of the story. Yeah. I don't think
every
it's necessary.
Every time they boo a guy.
But that's why I said at the beginning when you described that it's a child. A guy and a hot girl. It's like a Doritos commercial, right? So, you know, and is any of that necessary during? I mean, like, I don't like it in advertising either. That to sell stuff, that sex sells.
Right.
So, sex and the doofiness is not none. I mean, like, why don't you just have it? Like, it should always be kids,
right?
Or should I don't, now I feel bad because I know we have such a strong relationship with the Blackhawks.
No, it should just be regular people. You're right.
Hi, Mr. McDonough. It's always a pleasure to do business with you.
They listen to the complaints and the concerns. They change.
And I appreciate that. Yes. And there are a lot of people as fervently and as strongly, I guess those are the same words, but defending the tradition. Is it tradition? It's just creepy to me to put a woman in front of 21,000 screaming fans with music that implies we want to see you naked.
But she doesn't seem to mind.
She agrees to
it.
Oh
my God!
This guy agrees to it. These people agree,
you know,
knowing
what?
That we're going to.
As long as she likes it, that makes it okay. You are listening to Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We started an hour early because of the Cubs schedule, and Pete McMurray will be back according to when the Cubs are playing or not playing. And we also thank Pete for his ALS, his hashtag ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. His was on. Did you see his? It was very good. I thought he did a nice job. A lot of people are jumping in and taking up the challenge. And across the country, we've raised over $6 million. So that's what I tell you, Wendy Snyder and Dean Richards. I think that they were doing it today. They were going to meet a maximum. I'm not sure. But we are talking about another, I think something that's near and dear to a lot of people's hearts. We're going to talk to Dr. Natalie Marks, who is a veterinarian, and she's here as a part of a promotion for the AVMF. What's the AVMF?
Well, the AVMF is the American Veterinary Medical Foundation. It's the nation's only veterinarian-directed animal charity, and they're dedicated to the advancement of well-being and the medical care of animals. So they do a lot of wonderful things nationwide. They're very involved in disaster preparedness and they're very prominent right now in trying to help with people understanding the human-animal bond and really what our pets mean to us.
Right. Well, first let's go with the disaster preparedness. Is that in case of just to keep your pet in mind and what you would need in case you need to evacuate your house?
Yes. And also on a great kind of a grander scale involved with Katrina and some of the nation disasters. Mm-hmm. They're one of the first kind of ground defense and kind of front lines to get in there and help people on the front of what's going on and making sure that they're supported and they have the veterinary care and also the human medical care that they need in some respects.
Because people who are probably cynical would think, well, you know, the most important thing are the people, the adults and the children who are the victims of disasters. But what is important to a lot of people are the parts of their family, which includes cats, dogs, you know, whatever animal they've had in their life. So you want to make sure that they're accounted for and do everything you can to hopefully reunite them,
right?
And help take care of them if you're homeless,
right? Right. So, and the human animal bond for a lot of people is indescribable. A lot of people feel closer to their pets sometimes than they do to other people, and there's so many levels of the human animal bond involved in therapy and, you know, medical work and some of the work they're doing now with ovarian cancer awareness and dogs are being used to sniff out cervical cancer in some areas of research and working with autistic children. I mean, it's kind of endless what we can do with our pets. So it's really great that we have this foundation to help with that.
In what way are they helping with cervical and ovarian cancer?
Well, right now, one of the areas of research is that dogs are actually able to sniff out some of the markers for cervical cancer in the urine of women. So if we can use this and really fine tune these dogs and the training of these dogs, we hope that it will be a wonderful kind of proactive screening tool to catch this early, because of course wellness is the best medicine.
Right, because you know a lot of times that it goes undetected. Even the when you go for your gynecological exam, that pap smear does not test for those two. I believe those two. What does it test for? Is it I don't even know. Someone told me this yesterday. No, I was at a fundraiser yesterday, and they were telling me, I believe that it doesn't catch ovarian cancer. It tests for cervical cancer.
Right.
I've got to find out more information and be specific. But explain to us why dogs are able to smell that. They're the ability of a dog to sniff things out. I've been reading a little bit about this in National Geographic and what they the work they're doing for the military. What is the you know the extent, the percentage in difference, how a dog can smell compared to us? Would you say it's like,
I don't know if
it's like in the hundreds of thousands, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I mean it's exceptional what a dog can do. Mm-hmm. And it's not just dogs. You know, there's a lot of cats that are used as therapy animals.
But are they as cooperative? Well, for sniffing out
you'd
things.
you'd be surprised. Mm-hmm. I mean, not exactly for sniffing out, but there's a lot of cats that are seizure watch cats.
Oh, I didn't know
so
that.
They live with people, and if there's a seizure, they're, you know, they're trained to help alert, or diabetics that are uncontrolled. Or I mean, it's, again, there are cases out there of not just dogs and cats, mm-hmm. but different pocket pets. And, you know, I've seen pot-bellied pigs that are have wonderful therapy kind of positive traits. So it's really remarkable.
Did I hear correctly that miniature ponies are also being used as therapy pets?
Yes. Yes.
What?
And there are rabbits that go into burn centers and hospitals and are used because a lot of people that have been severely burned only have sensation on the soles of their feet.
Mm-hmm.
So these bunnies will sit and they can feel them on the soles of their feet, and it helps with therapy. So it's really amazing. And AVMF helps, you know, really to promote the medical care. So these in some situations, these dogs can keep doing, and you know, the other animals can keep doing therapy.
So the fundraising for and the awareness for this organization is to make those kinds of services possible.
Well, they have a very grand scheme.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, really what they want to do is promote the special relationship that dogs and cats and birds and mm-hmm. fish and all other of our kind of family, furry family members have with their owners.
Okay. And what, now you have something coming up. This is the America's Favorite Veterinarian Contest. And what's going on?
Well, this was a contest that was launched by AVMF. And really the goal of this is to recognize, I would say, kind of the relationship that I've described, and in their mind, people that have shown exemplary, you know, cases of this.
Mm-hmm.
And every year they ask for clients to nominate a veterinarian who they feel exemplifies what this contest is promoting. And so the last 2 years they've had, I think they said over 2,000 nominations.
Okay.
And so I was nominated by one of my wonderful clients who's really a fantastic humanitarian, really promoting in her own way,
right,
charity and time giving back. And I was brought down, or kind of weeded down to the top, I think, 100. And I was asked to go a little bit farther and do a print interview and application about some of the work I've done. And now I've really been grateful enough to be one of the top 20 nationwide. So,
yay, congratulations.
It's been remarkable and really humbling, and it's something that I'm really proud of. So,
well, it sounds like you've done a lot of hard work, and it sounds like you're making a connection with these families who, you know, when they're most vulnerable, needs your help, you're there for them.
Yeah, I wouldn't do anything else. I love what I do, and I'm very passionate about what I do, and being recognized for this, mm-hmm. I think helps kind of support in my mind that I'm making a difference.
Right.
And, you know, not many people can do what they love every day, and I get to, and I'm surrounded by people who do that. And I work with all my clients who just love their pets immensely. I mean, they are their family, and the human animal bond just brings them joy. So it's really a wonderful profession.
And where's your hospital? Cause I think we're all going to want to find
you.
Oh
yeah. We're at Blum Animal Hospital.
Blum, okay.
Yeah, my partner and I.
And where's Blum?
Blum is in Lakeview at North and, I'm sorry, at Clark and Belmont, just south of Wrigley. And we're really proud of the work we do there. We have a really great team, and we've been providing what we consider very high quality veterinary care, and also just love and support for the families for over 60 years.
And well, it sounds like, again, like I said, the folks that are in your community are very lucky to have you. And how can people vote for the veterinarians that are important to them?
Yeah. So right now it's just down to the finalists, mm-hmm. but it's at americasfavoriteveterinarian.org, and you can vote every day. And
So we're voting for you, is what you're saying.
I would love it.
Okay. So
I'm the only one in Illinois right now.
How do we vote for you?
Go to that website, americasfavoriteveterinarian.org, there'll mm-hmm. be a big button, red button that says vote now, and you can scroll down and hopefully pick me. But all of the veterinarians are down there. They all have their bios and everything that they're doing, and everyone that's nominated right now is just fantastic.
It's hitting the airwaves, but they can't be on WGN. Dr. Natalie. Dr. Natalie Marks. That's
only
right.
Only me. But yeah, I mean, It's nice to recognize veterinarians for what they do and what they mean to the general population. And we're really, you know, we're a family doctor. We treat pets, but we also have a really good relationship with the humans. So we get the best of both worlds.
Well, and that's how you get things done, is if you have the family involved.
Absolutely.
And aware of what they need to do. We are talking to Dr. Natalie Marks of Blum Animal Hospital in Lakeview, and we're voting for her at americasfavoriteveterinarian.org.
Yeah, and real quick, you can go to the Patty Vasquez Facebook page. You can see how to vote for Dr. Natalie Marks there. It's all posted up. You can just click on it and then vote.
There you go.
Thank you.
Make sure it's on both pages, because I have two pages. I don't know how to fix that. We're going to catch up with Dr. Natalie Marks a little bit more about her career and this wonderful contest that she's involved in. You know what I decided, Craig? I'm going to go back to this one second. I'm not going to drag Dr. Natalie Marks into this. I think that we can expect more from the fans. Blackhawks fans are capable of more, and we don't need to lower the bar for them. So I think that they will rise to the occasion and get over the fact that... Hi, Rob. Dr. Natalie Marks I wouldn't bring her into this conversation. but you made a good point. Maybe what they could do during that time, rather than having a child, a doofus, and a hot chick, is maybe draw awareness to animal organizations.
Or adoption for pets.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Because there's so many homeless pets right now.
Who did you say is a big animal activist on the team? Pickle?
I think so. Yeah.
I bet you they all are.
He does pit bull rescue, I
there,
think.
Yeah.
They're a great group of people. So.
See, I say we go the rest of the way for the Doritos commercial. You throw a dog into the mix and we're all set.
I don't know if I want a pit bull out on the ice.
Oh.
Especially one wheel on a hockey stick.
Don't go there.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Bombshell,
there we go.
Bombshell Pit Bull Rescue out in Highwood is an organization that I am a big fan of. And tell Rod why he's wrong about the pit bulls. They're maligned. There have been a lot of attacks this year, and that's what people are drawing attention to as well.
Well, you know, it's a very controversial topic,
right.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been a lot of talks around not just the city, but all over the country,
right.
about breed bans,
mm-hmm.
right? And not being allowing people to own certain breeds of dog.
Right.
My experience has been this. I have had incredibly sweet pit bulls
mm-hmm.
come in. I have had incredibly mean chihuahuas come in.
Right.
I have had incredibly nice German shepherds and Great Danes come in that
mm-hmm.
are on the quote-unquote list of dangerous dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've had Cocker Spaniels that have been very reactive. I have had your kind of some of your classic family dogs, mm-hmm. you know, come in. We've even had, which does sounds kind of impossible, but I've seen Golden Retrievers that have not been great family dogs that have had, you know, different incidents of reactivity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, to me, any dog can have behaviors that are unwanted. There's a genetic component. There's a nature component. There's a nurture component. It's really a lot of what you're doing, how you're socializing those dogs. Are you going with, you know, through training? Are you starting off on the right foot? Are you looking at the breeding? Or when you're rescuing, are you looking at the history of the dog and trying to work with trainers to make sure that you're addressing the needs of that dog? So, again, I'm a big fan of taking each individual case, working with that case, finding out what that family needs
mm-hmm.
to have that dog be comfortable and secure and happy in that home. It doesn't always work.
Right.
Unfortunately, but we do the best that we can.
And it does come down to what when people do fall victim to a dog attack, sometimes it's an irresponsible owner who has not taken into consideration all the things that you're talking about.
I would agree with that in some respects.
Yes, mm-hmm. I would think. But I think what Rob and a lot of people can think is that, but a pit bull is so much more capable of destruction. They're so much stronger. That's the impression I get and the fear that people have.
I, Yeah, I mean, in the media, they definitely are portrayed that way. They're very strong dogs. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other breeds that are too.
Right.
And, you know, it comes down again to, just like you've mentioned, you know, if you're owning a dog that has a quote unquote reputation of being reactive or on that quote unquote dangerous breed list, or a breed that kind of has a reputation of having that kind of stigma, I think it's almost extra important that you take the time to socialize and go through training and educate yourself and your family and your friends and people who are going to be around that dog, so that we aren't subconsciously doing behaviors that reward negative behavior in that dog.
Or that makes sense for any pet that you have.
Absolutely.
At home. Any pet.
And and also it's important to be teaching your kids, you know, dog bite, you know, awareness. And I think it's a lot of the like Safe Humane Chicago, and there's some other groups around the city that go into schools and teach kids how to act around dogs. You don't just walk up to any dog and stick your hand in a threatening
pose.
Right?
Yeah,
exactly.
And even then, you know, you have to observe a dog. By the way, I did something the other night, and tell me if I did the wrong thing. I'll show you a picture of this dog. But I was driving down Montrose, and I saw I skidded through a stop sign because it was raining. And as I kept going down Montrose, I saw a dog slowly crossing the street.
Okay.
And not a big dog, you know. What people have said on Facebook is that she looked like a Shiba. And so I pulled over and I took a couple pictures of her, but I was really scared that she wasn't going to make it because I didn't know what to do with her. So I kind of hung out with her for a few minutes, kind of like, you know, felt her out a little bit, you know, reached out and let her sniff my hand, kind of just patted her head a little bit. And then I opened my back door to my car and coaxed her. It took me a couple minutes. Was that the wrong thing? She was fine. It ended up fine, but
the first thing I would do is obviously look for an ID tag. Or
there was one, but I wasn't sure what to do. It was raining, and I thought, I'll just get her in the car.
I mean, I think if you're being, you know, aware and conscious of how that dog's acting, and there's an ID tag, and you're, you know, trying to call the owner, and you know, or you can take it to a place like the emergency clinic or the police station where they can scan for a microchip or contact the owner. I think that's great. I think any owner would want their dog out of the rain,
right?
If it was lost,
because there was a moment while I was driving, I'm like, what am I doing with a car with a dog I don't know in the backseat of my car? And but I couldn't leave her out there. So here's the dog that I picked up at Mont. She's fine. I think
she's cute. Yeah, she looks like a little Shiba.
Is that a Shiba?
Yeah.
She was very timid. I don't know if she was like afraid. I have to go. I don't want to go. I'm going to take a quick break here, and then we'll try to get to Jordan before we end the segment with Dr. Natalie Marks from Bloom Animal Hospital. And you can go vote for her at what's the website?
America'sFavoriteVeterinarian.org.
All right. America'sFavoriteVeterinarian.org. And go vote for Dr. Natalie Marks. We'll be right back after this. You are listening to Pretty Late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We've been talking to Dr. Natalie Marks, who works at Bloom Animal Hospital in Lakeview over at Clark and Belmont, and she's one of the finalists in the America's Veterinary... Go ahead, tell me the name again.
America's Favorite Veterinarian Contest.
America's Favorite Veterinarian Contest. .org?
America's Favorite Veterinarian.org.
And you can vote for her, Dr. Natalie Marks. And we were talking a little bit about pit bulls and the stigma surrounding that breed. A lot of people think that it should be banned. What other dogs do they think you should ban?
Well, I think there's a lot of there's like a top 10 list that a lot of insurance companies will use for dog bites and kind of dangerous dogs. And there's, you know, Dobermans, Rottweilers, sometimes, you know, these dogs are on there. Great Danes, German Shepherds. There's quite a few that in my experience are not appropriately placed on that list. I really don't think that list should exist, to be honest, because like I said, any dog can be reactive. Any dog, you know, reactive is our new PC term for aggressive. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So reacting abnormally.
I knew it.
But reacting abnormally to a certain circumstance that makes them feel uncomfortable. So they can be fear reactive, territorially reactive, what they call resource guarding. But nonetheless, I really, I'm not a believer in breed stigmas. We use breeds to help us categorize risk of disease. Mm-hmm. You know, certain breeds, we look for certain diseases because it tends to happen them more commonly than others. But I'm not a fan of characterizing breeds by behavior.
Okay. And we have a trainer that wanted to join the conversation. Hey, Jordan, how are you doing tonight? Oh, hold on a second, Jordan. Let me do this. There you go. You're there. I swear you're there.
Hey, all right. Cool. How you doing, Patty? It's nice to talk to you again.
Thank you so much for calling. Good to talk to you, too.
Well, hi, Doc. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Doing terrific. Well, you guys are actually just talking about different breed types and, you know, this list. And it was funny because I was actually thinking about this the other day, and this list to me is actually quite silly. I mean, believe it or not, and maybe the doctor would know, from what I understand, that like bulldog breeds actually have been bred to like be nannies and help take care of like family dogs, help take care of children. And the majority of pit bulls that I've ever come across as a dog trainer myself are very, very good with children. It's not the breed. It's you can take any dog and turn it into an aggressive, mean dog. It's not the breed at all. It's the people with the dogs. If you're going to get rid of a breed, I'd say the designer breeds. I'm not a huge fan of that as a trainer. Anyway, that's just my personal preference. So with that said, I think the most important thing that you could do, and especially new dog owners, is definitely do training class. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a trainer, because I've seen that the majority of dogs that end up in shelters are owned by people who don't think that their dog is trainable, which is simply not the case. Any dog is trainable. From the hardest dog, the biggest dog, to the smallest dog, absolutely trainable. There has yet been a dog that I've been able to train, or that another trainer could train. So I think the most important thing is just to make sure that you look and get your dog in a class, and then socializing. And I know the doctor was saying something about that earlier. Even if you don't have the money to put your dog in a class, take your dog to, let's say, PetSmart or Petco, these places that allow your dogs to come into, and let your dog, you know, interact with people, with other dogs. And the younger you start it, the better the dog's going to develop. Dogs communicate with two different ways. They communicate by vocalizations and physical features, ears down and, you know, hair standing back up on the back of the dog. So with that said, it's like dogs communicating in different languages. Some dog might think that, a look on a dog is submissive behavior.
Right.
Or something along those lines. So that's why socializing to me and training are some of the most important things that you can do to develop your dog into being, a member of your family.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a lot of what Dr. Marks was saying as well, is that that's the most important aspect of bringing any animal, I think, into your life, is to make sure that they're socialized and there's training, but not just training the dog, but training the family.
Absolutely. No, I think you bring up a lot of great points, Jordan. Primary socialization, we're talking mostly about dogs again today, but it's from 9 to 12 weeks of age. So if during that time your dog doesn't get that type of interaction with other dogs where they understand I'm a dog, not a human, and this is how another dog reprimands me, and this is how I interact with another dog, a lot of those dogs actually end up having different types of anxieties later on in life, separation anxiety, generalized anxiety disorders, and socializing not just to dogs and people, but also socializing to and kind of desensitizing to the sounds of urban Chicago. Mm-hmm. Where I practice, today we had the air and water show planes. We have the Cubs traffic. We have the Cubs games. We have buses, train. We have so many different sights and sounds on a daily basis. So to some dogs, it's incredibly stressful, and they will become reactive to that. So I totally agree with you. I think training is essential.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And dogs learn. They learn by associative learning. So the more you put your dog in a situation, and the other thing too is reading your dog. I mean, go with your feeling. I always thought, go with your feeling. If you think a dog might attack you, well, that dog's picking up that vibe, and go with your gut. Also, like I said, take 15 minutes out of your day to stop, take your dog to PetSmart, to Petco, and again, 15
every day?
Minutes, that's all you have to do.
You mean once
every day?
Like, I was going to say, I don't got time to be taking my dog to Petco. Got to get in the car, got to drive. Now we're impacting, now we're having a bigger, carbon footprint, all kinds of stuff. Jordan,
once or twice a week.
Jordan, I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to ask if you can get in your car and come down and eat at Rudy's Bar and Grill. We're going to give you a $25 gift card for staying on the line so long and sharing so much information. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Are you going to join me?
my husband says I'm not. We'll get Jordan's information right there. And thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Marks. I'm going to let you get back to your family because I know it's getting late. And once again, they can go to the website, americasfavoriteveterinarian.org, and vote for Dr. Marks. And tell us a little bit more. Where can we find your animal hospital? Do you have a website?
Yeah, so we're at www.blumvet.com, and we're at Clark and Belmont in Lakeview, and always very, very open to the public, and we love to meet new clients and new furry faces.
So. I bet you have a lot of fun people in that area too. It's such a trendy area.
Well, we have clients from all over the city and the suburbs.
Oh,
but
they come all the way to Clark. That's not an easy place to get to.
It's not.
I would say that's a brutal place. I mean, with traffic and parking. Yeah, you guys are.
We
good.
Have free parking.
Oh,
we
well,
do.
That makes a difference. That makes a big difference.
Yeah.
I might come find you. It's Dr. Marks from Bloom Animal Hospital, and we look forward to having you back.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
We're gonna have you back before the end of this contest. So
sounds great.
Good luck, and let's get those numbers up. You're listening to Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You're listening to Pretty Late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. And I was, we were talking about, or at the beginning of the show, we were talking about the shoot the puck situation, no longer going to play the stripper. And I'm all for stopping that. I what I was fascinated by, and this is really kind of more of my point, I love that a woman raised her hand and said, excuse me, it just kind of bothers me. I'm a big fan of the Blackhawks. I'm not comfortable when I'm at the game and you guys play the stripper music, which does connotate take off your clothes. At least when I hear it, I mean, you know, that I like taking off my clothes. And if I was going to play music, it might sound like that. Maybe I'm playing that in my head. But it's weird to have someone stand up in front of 21,000 people, have that music playing, have it always be the tradition that it's always a hot chick. But anyway, I'd kind of knew about the shoot the puck and that it was always a hot girl. And there, she was also asking about the ice cleaning girls, because there are men and women that do that, but the girls are wearing like almost like bikini outfits. And she was wondering if maybe we could dress them similar, maybe put some pants on them. Which is weird now, because now we're talking about dressing girls, which also sounds like objectifying a person. If you have any thoughts on this, I would love to hear from you at 312-981-7200. And I'm not gonna get angry. I got a little worked up. Rob got a little worked up, but I was telling my son Griffin. He asked me why I was so upset about it. You know what? I was like, you know what? I'm kind of upset about that. It didn't upset me before. You know what I mean? Like I just was like, oh, I guess we're doing that now. And let me tell you this much, Rob. As far as my background, I was a Hooters girl, but that's in an environment where that's what you do. That's, you know, that's that you go to that restaurant, you know, sure. The girl's going to be wearing scant, you know, so I have been the plucking bimbo. So I was plucked out of the resumes of girls who applied at Hooters, and I was plucked out to be a bimbo, and I played that role, and I made some really good money. To go back to your point about not feeling bad about it, I didn't feel bad about it. But people went into the restaurant knowing that that was part and parcel for the experience, right? And the same thing is at the Tilted Kilt.
Right. No, and I agree with you. So then we can make the same argument if you were an ice girl at a Blackhawks game. You know that's what is expected of you going in.
Yes, yes.
And you sign up for that role.
Yes, I agree with you. But I would say if the fans are like, can I not come to a hockey game and have this be part of my experience? I would like to not have this be. It's so lopsided, I think, when you do it that way, especially when they're saying the numbers are about 39% of fans are women now. That's what I mean. It's not a Hooters.
I wonder what the numbers are for the amount of women that dine at Hooters. And the amount of women
it's not
that
dying. Much. It's not that much. And and they're cool about it. I mean, I've gone to Hooters and eaten there before.
Right.
So I believe the phrase of the show is going to be, I've been a plucking bimbo myself.
And it's not just the Blackhawks. It's not just the Blackhawks that have an ice crew that's women and kind of cheerleaders. As I had said before, the NHL, the NFL does it with their cheerleaders. Mm-hmm. The other sports teams do it. It's unfortunately sort of
part of
the sporting event. If you go to a sporting event, a lot of them, even basketball, has the lovables. Unfortunately, these events have female cheerleaders that are dressed scantily clad and dance.
Right.
Or on ice, they just skate. But, you know, that's kind of a sports thing that happens at sporting events. So the fans should expect that. They should know a little bit that could be possible. Mm-hmm. The shoot the puck is the outlier. That's the difference. That's a giveaway. That's
because
a
contest. Because the premise is it's supposed to be random.
Right.
So I think they're changing the dynamic of that. Whether or not the ice girls are that's going to change. But I think that this movement of the stripper music, I think that's cool that they stopped doing it.
Right, of course.
And I think the Blackhawks organization for listening to fans who were very feeling very strongly about
that. That is the coolest thing. John McDonough came out and said that he's obviously listening to this, taking it hard, or taking it, you know,
too hard.
The way that they...
But they were going to react, not overreact.
Right, exactly.
And that's what they did.
So it's nice when you can voice something like that and an organization can respond as quickly as they do.
Yes. We have Nora on Facebook said, Patty, I listened tonight and I'm proud that she spoke up. We can be proud Hawk fans without all the garbage. So that's another woman. And Diane Peterson says, the stripper was pucked over. She's not advocating it, but couldn't resist the pun. So, look, it's a sporting event. I just think that that element of it, you know, is a little bit weird to have that music. So that has been taken
care
of.
From the text messages from the 708, girlfriend, you are absolutely right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, amen, Patty Vasquez. And then here, there's one that says it's simply a tradition taken from Slapshot, the movie, when the group of guys are all playing hockey and one dude decides to strip. So it's more an homage to the movie.
If we could have Patrick Sharp or Taze out there taking off his gear, boom, shakalaka, boys and girls, I would be all about that. That would be the true homage to Slapshot, would be, right? Taking off his clothes, the dudes. Yeah. There's a lot of sex in that movie. There's a lot of cussing in that movie. There's a lot of tough women in that movie too, I think. But there are no ice cleaning girls, are there? There's no girls in
No, and then there's another one from the 815. Why don't we ask all the Little Miss beauty pageant contestants to stop instead of the grown women who are just being independently minded? Now, that's interesting.
Independently, the girls that go out on the ice.
Right, the girls that are grown women
and
making
said,
that decision.
I said that I also had been voluntary plucking bimbo myself in the past. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if that's what they want to do, I'm saying we need to not do the stripper music.
Right, no, but I think the first part of this text is actually the most interesting. Why don't we stop the Little Miss beauty pageant contests and the people who are doing the little kids?
You're talking about the TV shows? Oh, I think those are gross. I think those parents
belong. Yeah, exactly. I think that's the best point that the 815 is making, is that the contests where these children are being taught that when you grow up, it's okay to, you know, your whole life to be put in this. And we've talked about
objectified.
That before on this show.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have talked about how when we're driving out in the street and we see someone who's not old enough to be dressing a certain way and is dressing that way, that's the saddest thing with society, is that we're encouraging women as a whole
to be sexualized,
to act like this. Mm-hmm. And the younger children are taking that as what their role is in
to
society.
What to aspire to.
Right. So that is
which
the biggest
problem. Which is why when you have
everything.
Kids at the Blackhawks games, don't play the stripper music.
Right. No, the stripper song is definitely too far. And I had said that when I first responded to you, that the stripper song itself is too far. But picking an attractive girl and then a doofus guy is stereotypical sports.
Mm-hmm.
That's not surprising at a sporting event to do those two
Granted.
Things.
Granted. I will
whether
agree with
or not
that.
That's right,
yes.
Whether or not the other fans should be allowed to play, the regular-looking dudes, the good-looking dudes, and the regular-looking women, if they should be allowed to try to win a prize, you know, that's a different conversation.
Yes.
But what they're doing is not surprising, and taking it one step further by playing that music is certainly when it gets offensive instead of funny.
It's creepy. It's right. I don't like even just creepy.
It is.
It's icky.
But picking the girl and picking the guy is just part of sports. That's just the way that they see it, I think.
I'm going to go look on some videos and make sure that every single guy has been a doofus, because as far as I could tell, every single girl's been a hottie. So they better all be doofuses.
I promise you that more often than not, it's simply celebrities.
No. Oh, it's simply celebrities? Okay.
It's not. There's not four people.
Are they also, also doofus celebrities?
No. Back in the day, Craig's right. It has transitioned from just the geeky, doofusy guy.
To a celebrity. Right.
Okay.
Right.
So that's mission accomplished from this young woman who raised her hand at the Blackhawks convention. And kudos to the Blackhawks organization, John McDonough, for listening and going and considering it and listening to the voices.
For her to have the courage to do that there, like you said, it's a fan event to be, you know, to up everybody, to be kind of all positive. For her to do it there, that's definitely takes a lot of balls.
It takes a lot of.
It sure does.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Pretty Late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. I posted on Facebook a link to an article about the sad Highland Park Starbucks called the most depressing Starbucks in America. The thing I can't track down is it's from the LAist, so I'm guessing this is Highland Park somewhere else because someone else pointed out that it was in California. But it's a stark Starbucks. Apparently it looks like it's just a shed with concrete floors. There's no couches. There's none of the big chairs. Here's the thing for me. As long as a barista doesn't give me attitude about how I order my drink, you know, if I go in there and I get like, you know, I just want a medium. I want the one that's not big. I want the one that's not tiny. If I could just have a medium, then that would be great. And that's all I really want from my Starbucks is a little bit of caffeine. But I guess I don't don't even know why, you know, anything has to be designated the saddest in America. I guess sometimes you have to have an article to write. There was the dumb Starbucks. I don't know if anybody saw that one, but it was kind of a prank or a stunt that was created by the show. I think it's that Nathan show that John Tatey likes from the AV Club. There was that dumb Starbucks. Oh, that was the Nathan Fielder prank. But a new drive-through Starbucks in Highland Park that opened a couple weeks ago just has a few stools, a concrete floor, and all the depressing khaki-colored stucco walls you may ever want. And, it is. It's the LAS visited the new coffee shop that some have called the most depressing Starbucks in America. I kind of like the idea of going in and not having a lot of kids running around, even though I myself have gone into Starbucks and had my kids running around and getting in people's way. But that's the, I don't know. I just want my caffeine. I don't need to be any fancier than that.
And the people on the computers probably won't stay as long.
Exactly.
They're not going to stay and sit there for 2 hours doing stuff if it's depressing.
They're not going to camp out. They're not going to be right. using electricity. That one over
right.
at...
Just go in, get out, get coffee.
That's right. The one at North and Wells is always packed. There was one Starbucks that I went to that there was a guy who was homeless. And like I never wanted to be mad that there was a homeless guy hanging out. But at the same time, it was like there was a lot of odor that I, you know, it would make me run out. So I that was one of the Starbucks I stopped hanging out at, and I felt bad because I mean the guy was getting shelter and staying warm, and they were actually pretty generous with their time there, which I thought was kind of cool. But at the same time, I was like, I can't. I'm very sensitive. What a weird turn for me to take is that I think this guy smelled. I didn't mean to go that way. But there's a lot. I like a good coffee shop. I don't know if anybody else has a favorite hangout.
Yeah, like a nice independently owned coffee shop too. Not necessarily a Starbucks or any of those. Like a real nice neighborhood one.
Exactly. I want to be able to support more local businesses, but there's nothing. The only local businesses in my neighborhood are dollar stores and liquor stores. So I can't really go hang out there as much. I wish I had a neighborhood. Do you have a neighborhood coffee shop you get to hang out in Andersonville?
There's the coffee shoppy.
Was I supposed to say where you live?
Yeah, Andersonville. I've said it before. That's okay. I'm down. Come on, hang out in Andersonville.
I'm in Jefferson Park.
Yeah. So we had Jeff Fest on, too.
We did. Yeah. We had the alderman and everything.
It's called the Coffee Studio, and then there's another one called the Coffee Shoppy, and mm-hmm. they're both really fun. I don't know if I need to have coffee in the name of the business in order to have a good time there.
Right.
But those two are real great.
That's a shop. Do they want this shoppy? Do they want that pronounced that way?
I think they want it to be shop.
Shop.
But if you throw an E on something, Craig's going to say it.
It gets very fancy that
Lordy.
Way.
Lordy. That's how I say
stuff. How about theatre?
Theatre tray.
When they do it with the R at the end?
Yeah. Theatre.
I don't know. Oh, Bill Cerrones is here.
Yeah, look at that.
He's not Adam Chappelle anymore. That's always surprising when somebody new shows up on the. This is great radio when I like Patty's distracted by the change of cast in the on the show. Hey, Bill Cerrones, how are you doing? Do you have a coffee shoppy?
No, I don't.
Okay, maybe you should hang out with Craig in Andersonville.
All right, maybe
see,
I'll do that.
There's an L-E at the end. Do we not say Andersonville?
You're right.
But if it was I'm a Y, a it would make it Andersonville.
You're right. But I would say Andersonville, I guess, if I'm being true to myself.
No, I've forced you into a corner on that one. You didn't have to do that. I don't have any. I have no neighborhood joints. Maybe people in Jefferson Park should tell me where I can go hang out. I don't know what we have a lot of bars. We have the Jefferson Park bus terminal. I can't hang out there very much. It's good to have a neighborhood hangout. You know, you gotta support your local businesses. Do you know what I've been noticing on some? I just took a picture at my hairstylist. I got my hair cut today by Karen at Do or Die in Norwood Park, and we were taking the picture. And I was telling her that sometimes my hair turns out red in pictures, and I saw this article that Craig handed me. A redhead was sent home from school for disruptive hair. You know, your personal style is supposed to make a statement, but this girl arrived for her first day back at school this year, and the 16-year-old was told to go home. According to this school system in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, her red hair was too disruptive to remain in the building. I don't know what kind of code that is, what kind of school code, and what shade of red that you have to exceed in order to be that. This is a rule that we've known about. We've always abided by it. I told the principal, you were her assistant principal last year. How come you never sent her home last year? So she'd been a student there before, and now her hair is considered to be too red and too disruptive. The principal is just following the policy. Several girls were sent home for hair color. Most everyone complied and came back and were back in class. Complied with what? Did they change their hair color? That seems very strange. The policy was put in place years ago. Very rarely does it ever come up as an issue. Lindsay said the rule aims to provide a safe environment conducive to learning. I don't... I'm trying to figure out where their logic is for red hair. I'm not sure if you have to tone your hair down. Is it naturally the color that her hair was? Yeah, I don't understand why you would send a child home because they don't have the right hair color. We used to have a policy at our school where if the skirts could only, you had to like, they had to be at your fingertips. The hem of the skirt had to be at your fingertips. And if it was shorter than that, they would send you home, which seems like such a weird way to conduct a school, to educate somebody because their hair is the wrong color. I mean, I guess I can see that's why I've always thought like uniforms should be in place. And, you know, maybe that's the way to go. But with hair, how do you, you know, have... do you have like a color stick, you know, like a paint swatch or something that you hold up next to a girl's hair and says, this is way beyond the color that we allow in our school. This is going to be very disruptive because your hair is just distracting. Well, let's see how distracted we get. Our wine guy, I was told tonight that I can't call you the other name. I was asked to not call you that anymore. And when someone asks me not to, I can't. Joseph Giannini's in the studio and we'll talk about his new business, Two Italians. And his wine shop, Paired Wine Company, and Outsitters, his dog sitting in dog care. Well, you get all kinds of stuff going on. Let's find out about what's going on with him in just a moment. You are listening to Pretty Late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and joining me in the studio is Joseph Giannini, and I have been asked not to call you the name that we used to call you by a very good friend of mine, Will Durst. He's a comedian. He's not listening right now, so we don't even have to address it too well, because I was at the at Zany's, and I said, oh, my wine fairy's coming, and he goes, you can't call him that! And I said, but he said to call him that because I can't call him the wine. He doesn't want to be called the wine guy. Why?
We talked about this last week. And
yes.
You know, I respect that people take it as a derogatory term. But
yes.
I guess because we weren't going there when we talked about it originally.
Right.
That's why it made it okay to me, because mm-hmm. we talked about it. I don't want to rehash it again, but it was the goddess and I can't be a goddess or
the wine
diva because I'm
mm-hmm.
a guy. Yeah, well, I think that's more offensive if you call me a diva.
Okay, yeah.
It might be the truth, but
it means that you're difficult to work with. That's what diva usually means, right?
I might be. I have my moments. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, you know, so I understand. So I guess we need to come up with a new name, find something new.
Mm-hmm.
What is old is now new.
I don't know. Well, you were suggesting a wind down on Fridays once in a while.
Yes.
Possibly.
Yeah. We could, or in this case, tonight we have some beer. So
yes.
We may have to bear down or beer down.
Beer down.
Have a weekend bear down.
Mm. Now, Arancini's, I'm trying to remember what, you know where I used to have Arancini's? At the, there's a shop in the basement of the John Hancock.
People are probably wondering why you just randomly started talking about Arancini.
Oh, yeah, because you brought me Arancini. I have a whole plate of food in front of me. Tell the people what Arancini is.
Oh,
because you have a restaurant now as well.
I do have a little restaurant as well now. Trying to, it's midlife crisis is really what's going on in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting more and more nervous about things failing. So I do more and more so that if something fails, there's something to fall back on things. So it's midlife crisis, but that's okay. So yeah. Yeah, a little restaurant, 349 West Oak Street, Two Italians, Deli and Pizzeria, and we're doing like all grandma's recipes. So arancini, and I think there's something, it's like Papa's Mexicana in the Mexican community. There's something in the Puerto Rican community that does it as well.
I don't know, but this is magical.
It's meat. This is meat mm-hmm. with green peas and cheese with rice wrapped around it, then mm-hmm. breaded, and mm-hmm. then deep fried.
All healthy things.
Yes,
sure.
All healthy.
Well, there's green peas in there. That's
yes.
got a lot of iron.
Yes, and rice is good for you.
Rice is good for you.
Yes.
It's the cheese and the deep frying and the meat probably.
Cheese is not bad. Mm-hmm. Cheese is okay, but it's the deep frying probably parts. And that deliciousness that I love, one of my favorites actually, that's my southern fried pizza.
Oh my God.
It's... obviously pizza, but it has fried green tomatoes and southern fried chicken on there. And then I put a white cream gravy on there.
Of course you did. Why wouldn't you put a white cream gravy on
there? With
a
little cheese.
What? Why fried? I mean, because I'm a big fan of fried. You saw my eyes light up and I flipped the
you
box
did.
Open.
You're
right
like, fried green tomatoes, where?
Yes, I love fried green.
As well.
Now, is it because of the Fanny Flagg book and the movie No?
No, it's because I'm...
Not with Kathy Bates and Mary Stuart Masterson and Mary Louise Parker.
There is that.
Yes. And a young Chris O'Donnell, I believe, was also... He gets hit by the... Anyway, I don't want to ruin it for anybody who hasn't seen the movie, but wasn't the movie at all?
You know what? Now that you said that, maybe that's in the back of my head. No, I'm just a... Mm-hmm. I'm just a guy who...
Tawanda!
No,
I'm not a fan of the book at all.
No.
Can you tell?
No, not at all. Uh-uh. Read it once, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Twice. Okay.
Little Jessica Tandy. I'm sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
Just a little. Mm-hmm. That's okay. It's your show. Do what you want. No, it's really because I love to eat. And I thought, you know, why not? Fried green tomatoes are delicious, but they're not Italian.
I don't know.
Traditionally.
I don't know that many people in Chicago that are doing fried green tomatoes. I don't know any restaurants that are doing.
You know, you'll find some on some southern restaurants. Mm-hmm. I think Art Smith's restaurant has them on the menu, possibly. Maybe I'm wrong. But.
And how do you shop for a green tomato that you can fry?
They're, you know what? I asked.
Because they're
this,
different. They're not the.
I asked
not,
that question. Yes. Right. Because I thought that. I was like, well, it's just
unripened tomatoes.
Right.
You
it's
thought.
Just pick it from the garden before it's red. And no, these have a little bit more of a. Tang to them, a twang in them. So when you bite them, yeah. they got a nice crisp, and they're—I don't know—they're just different. And
are there different varieties of green tomatoes that you have to shop for?
You know, or? When I shop for them, I go right to the box that says green tomatoes, mm-hmm. and that's the variety I buy. I'm so
that's
particular.
So convenient. They mark it out for you.
I'm so particular. You know where I got these? Actually, my favorite hidden gem in the city, Stanley's.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell nobody.
Okay.
Stanley's.
Over on North Avenue?
Yes.
Oh, why are you telling?
Don't tell no one.
I won't tell anybody. You just told everybody.
It's great there. So you can go there and buy. I bought a case mm-hmm. of peppers for $1. A case, not a container, a case of strawberries for $1. So wow. if you have a large family, mm-hmm. go there, shop, buy that stuff, freeze it up. I just gave Stanley's a huge plug, but that's where I bought the green tomatoes, and they were so delicious and great and fresh. So, yes.
This is lovely. And then there's pepperoni bread.
There's pepperoni bread. I brought a lot of stuff because last time I was here.
It was a lot of people. There were a lot of people
you,
in the studio.
You had like 16 people in the band.
We should have given you the heads up that it was going to be a little quieter.
No, that's okay.
Well, we have Brad Tassel coming in. We have Natalie Gaza and the.
And I see there's news and traffic people upstairs.
Yes, Rob Martier will come down and grab a Scotch ale and stop being so manly with his. I want the shoot the puck girl. I want those plucking bimbos.
By the way, the
masculinity. You were just dripping. I mean, like, yes. What
you can play the stripper music anytime I come on this show.
Well, that's fine.
I'm completely okay with that,
and I'm fine with you doing that.
Yeah, I was mostly, and here's the reason I brought up the shoot the puck thing. My entire point was, I was surprised that someone hadn't said anything sooner, and I was really glad that this girl, you know, stood up and said something, because sometimes you have to go to the extreme. Sometimes you say the most extreme things or whatever. Somebody has to call attention to it before anybody does something about it. That's why I was really excited.
We still do a lot of things that are kind of, well, I'll just call
outdated.
Them old school. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It does. Like, it just feels
you
like.
You can get away with calling certain things.
That's why we come back to why we should not call you the wine fairy, and we will stop doing that because I don't think it's appropriate.
Okay, fine.
And I know you were cool about it, but it's the same thing. Like, we were talking about being okay with acting as the bimbo in a situation, you know, which I had been a Hooters girl, and that was fine for that time of my life. But at some point I got tired of doing it and going, you know what? I'm more than this. I'm more than what the way people are treating me. And, you know,
it's the perception, I think, more than anything, because I think if you're a Hooters girl, you might be putting yourself through college with that mm-hmm. and think that's the greatest job. Or
I was making like $2.50 bartending.
Yeah. Or somebody who works at an adult strip club. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, to say that what they do is less than the guy who makes pizza or mm-hmm. picks up number two for 11. Hey, that's mm-hmm. me. You know, I don't know.
Do you feel like, you know, the fact that do you use that word in any other situation culturally, the word fairy?
No.
Right. So let's stop doing it. You right?
I mean, I don't walk around hi, fairy, or or you're a fairy, or
yeah.
Or I think that if you, but I don't know. There's a
we're so conflicted.
Well, we've every culture, every somebody or something or some. I can't say culture in this case, but everybody takes words on and makes them their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the gay community found the word Mary. And darn it for Mary, who got named Mary, because now if she walks into a gay bar, she thinks everybody's calling her name.
Mary!
But it simply means, you know, it's a term mm-hmm. of affection, or the five-letter B word. It's another word that, you know, is commonly used amongst people.
I'm not calling you my wine bitch. That would just be so wrong. That's
can say that
so
on,
horrible.
You can say that. Okay.
I can.
I didn't want to say that word. mm-hmm. But in any case, well, that would be kind of cool, though. Your wine bitch. For them, I might have to wear a dog collar and leather or something. That's IML weekend.
Wine fairy is fun. It's entertaining. It kind of rolls off the tongue. It's a lot better than the wine queen.
Well, now what if it was a woman and you were calling her the wine fairy? Would that be okay?
Right, because it would just sound like she was doing something magical.
If that's exactly what she wanted to be referred to as, then by all means, if she's okay with it, then I'm okay with
little
it.
Little do people know I'm sitting here with a big tiara and a little wand right now, and so that's why you called me.
I want that tiara back when you're done with it. Okay?
And it's so hard to sit in a tutu, isn't it?
It is. It's poofy.
It is poofy. Tulle is the weirdest material. It catches
it's
on
itchy
things.
Too.
It's very itchy. So I don't know. We have to come up with a different name. Maybe we have a. Maybe it's. I don't want to. I'm not opening it up to the listeners. Can you imagine?
Oh, that would be great. Come on, you got it. I want to see the text messages alone come in.
Yeah. What
you
call?
Could do it more appropriately via text, I think, because
or not, because the anonymity of texting is sort of opens the floodgates, don't you think?
Well, you can get more. I mean, we could see more, I think, without.
Yes.
You're not going to be able to read half of the things that
people
say.
Yes.
But you can read half of, or you can read them when we go to commercial break, yes. When they text.
So. Yeah.
Fine. I don't know.
I know. We're trying to work our way through it. We don't know how it's going to work
the
out.
The wine.
We have ideas.
But it might not be wine. It might be just spirit. It might be the spirit.
Well, thing. But the thing is, you're. Look,
then I sound like I'm a medium.
Well, you have a restaurant, you have alcohol, and you have a dog sitting company. So you're my entrepreneur. You're like, you're like my Friday Joe.
I'm like your Shark Tank guy.
Shark Tank
buy
guy?
Buy it all. Just take it just, all. Yeah. I just want all your money. That's what it is. I got your pets. I got your food.
And your booze.
And I got your drink.
Yeah.
Most importantly.
What's next? When's the adult toy store?
Clothing, I'm sorry. Because you're not focused enough, I'm out.
See? And you know what?
Oh.
That would actually happen on Shark Tank. Mm-hmm. And I have a Shark Tank story. I actually went to Shark Tank auditions. And that's one of the complaints that they have without wanting to push it all the way through is that, what are you doing? Oh, I have three things. Well, that's you need to focus on one because I need you in this job 100% of the time, not 33 and a third in each, mm-hmm. Which is what my life gets. But I have people.
Well,
so
we have people. We'll talk about more people just right after this.
This is no big deal, it's just a hole in the wall. This is no big deal, it's just a million phone calls. If you really love me, you'd patch it up. If you really love me, you'd pick up. I'll put you on a chain, I'll run you through my vein, tattoo my heart, when will this stop? I got a license to love you, but it's turning me on when they want you. It's turning me on. Kisses that I gave you will scar your mouth. If you really love me, you'd wash these cups. If you really love me, you'd shut the heck up. I'll put you on a chain, I'll run you through my vein, tattoo my heart.
That's music from Natalie Geza. She is a musician who has a Kickstarter out right now. Where can people find out about your Kickstarter?
Oh, go to www.kickstarter.com and you can search for Natalie Geza and it'll pop up.
And that's G-A-Z-A.
Yes.
And we're going to hear some more music from you in a little bit. We also, you're celebrating, you're newly married. Did you celebrate the rest of your honeymoon in California?
Actually, we got, we live in Gary.
Mm-hmm.
We got married in Compton. Okay. So we're about to have our honeymoon in Detroit.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. It's the desolate third world countries from the United States.
Detroit. Actually,
yeah. Yeah. Wow. Everyone. Lovely. That's quite the tour you've got going on.
That was totally unplanned.
Yeah. It sounds like it was planned.
It was like we went to Beverly Hills to get the license because I wanted to do like a Keeping Up with the Kardashians, but then we couldn't do it in Beverly Hills because we'd have to wait till the end of August. So we're doing it more like NWA style.
Oh,
yeah. Well, Keeping Up with NWA.
Wow. Is NWA mean what it thinks? I think it means. It does, doesn't it?
I believe so.
Yes. And Joseph Giannini,
can't say on the air.
You were saying that you are not getting married because you like all of your stuff and you don't want to lose. I used to think that if people were really wanted to punish gay people, that they would let them get married but not let them get divorced. That would be...
that would be I think Chicago would have a lot more deaths.
Yeah, but there's so much money in gay divorce, in all divorces.
Well, and that was the thing. I kind of jokingly said maybe that should be the next business is become a gay divorce attorney.
Ooh.
Get them.
Well, that's not about divorce in front of the newlyweds.
Well, no, of course not. But, you know, all good things must come to an end. Sorry to be the downer here.
Now, what have you poured for me? What am I?
I've poured, you know, everybody knows the normal grapes, the Pinot Noir and the Chardonnay and the Sauvignon Blanc. This is Arnaise.
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 Like Desi?
I knew you were going to say that.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
All right. How could I not? It's right there. It's hanging. It's low hanging fruit.
It is.
Literally.
Literally. But Arnaise, no, it's an Italian grape. And it's found in the Alba region. Mm-hmm. So it's a very nice, dry, crisp grape. Goes wonderful with that tomato, fried green tomato, southern fried
chicken
pizza.
Which is gone. I have no more of that on my plate anyway.
I think there's plenty more.
All right.
But yeah, it's Arnaise, and it's a great wine. It goes great with like cream sauces and lightness, but it holds up to things like
it is lovely.
Meats and sausages.
Well, you also brought me a Flemish sour ale, which is sour.
It is sour, but it's not as sour as some sours.
But do people, are they surprised when they taste it? Because they're kind of expecting a beer. It's in a beer bottle.
It is. Yes, they are expecting a beer. This is a little bit more fruit. But sour fruit, nonetheless. Yeah. Was it what you thought or no?
It's good. It just wasn't what I thought. And neither is the white wine. I mean, although it is a white, I'm not good on white wine.
I know what you like. what you like, Patty Vasquez.
The cheap wines. Natalie, I'm a big fan of cheap wines.
Oh, yeah. There you go. It's
a bad $3 and under a bottle, she's gone.
Okay, like $2 chuck.
$2 chuck.
Yeah. I actually brought you some Barefoot Bubbly, but I didn't bring it in.
That's all right. You don't have to bring everything
all at once.
Because I
thought the champagne and the pop and the corks.
Too much going on for me.
No
corks. No corks.
Two or three times in and I'm... Yes, exactly.
So the Arnaise is a different kind of...
It's so a little drier. So let me taste what you're tasting so that I...
You can catch up with me?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I haven't done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's sort of a...
So you like sweet.
Mm-hmm, I do.
Yeah, this is not sweet.
That's kind of the back of the tongue and the roof of the mouth.
This is, and it's supposed to do is get all of that creamy sauce off your palate so that you can start fresh with your next bite. And then you taste the food all over again. You don't keep getting that bite before. So
right.
Like you just had some caramelized onion and mushroom pizza there.
Right.
And
does it go with that too?
It would because of the...
Oh, wait,
that's
more fragrant to me. It's just a mushroom on there. That was
there might just be a... Yes, don't mix them now.
What's the mushroom pizza?
That's caramelized onion and mushroom.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that crunch?
Oh, yummy. That's a Chicago thing, you know?
So crunchy.
It's the
That's good radio right there is chewing out loud.
Cornmeal. That's what makes it
You keep
it
talking, I'm going to chew on this.
That's okay, you go chew. So, I'm like, okay, it's my show all of a sudden. She's like, I got to shut myself up.
Caramelized onions and mushrooms and what?
You saw I got a little nervous there. I was like, the on-air is on, you're off the air. What am I supposed to say here?
Yeah, your eyes are like, what?
What would you like here? Yes. Anyways, so caramelized onions, mushrooms, ricotta cheese. I put a little Asiago on there.
Asiago?
Asiago.
Mm. What is Asiago? It's like a bitter cheese.
It's a little bit more bitter. Yeah. Yeah. But it goes great with things that are sweet or chewy or, Yummy.
Oh, someone's excited about Natalie Bean. Oh, and people are excited about having Joseph Giannini here as well. But we want to check in with Dee Dee. Hey, Dee Dee, what's going on?
Hi. I love your show anyway. But how wonderful to hear a St. Mary's kid from the region, or the region, mm-hmm. on the radio. It's absolutely lovely, lovely voice. It really is exciting.
Oh, wow. I'm so glad. That's an Overbite Air? We've got an Overbite Air. You're in Gary. Yay, Gary.
No, not Gary. East Chicago.
Oh, East Chicago. Okay. Very cool.
You have to love it. You're saying it like a region. East Chicago.
East Chicago. It is East Chicago. It's like having a front room.
Anyway, it's really lovely to hear you, Natalie. It's really exciting.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you for calling, Dee Dee. We appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, there are certain things. We have a segment called Overbite Air. So it's neighborhoods, you know, throughout the Chicagoland area. So we're going to highlight.
That's probably why you took Gaza back on, is because it's Chicago and we say everything like that.
That like that. Wisconsin with a G?
Wisconsin, yeah.
Yeah.
Plus my father was a cop, so it helps, like, because, you know, we're in the Chicago area. In Los Angeles, no one knew who I was, but.
Why is was your dad like a well-known police officer?
Oh, yeah.
Why? It's so dramatic the way she like paused.
There's a pause.
Yeah, like we should know.
There's a story behind that, but I won't go into it. But it helps because I was pulled over. Well, you know what? Actually, I shouldn't say that. I got pulled over for not making a complete stop. And the cop said to me, he said, "Where are you coming from?" I said, "I'm a special education teacher." I told him the name of my school. And he says, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm a hospice volunteer and I'm going to my end." Yeah. So anyway, I don't want anyone using that. Lying.
No, because it's true.
Yes.
You're telling the truth.
Yes. But I mean, yeah, that will get you out of a ticket every time.
We're a little caught up with the fact that there's a story about your dad's name, about your family name, as far as the Chicago Police Department.
East Chicago, Indiana.
East Chicago, Indiana.
Yeah, East Chicago, as Dee Dee said.
It's less interesting when it's East Chicago, isn't it, Joseph? Like, Chicago.
East Chicago, Indiana? Is that the actual?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Mm. Yes. That's confusing.
It is a little bit confusing. Yeah, but that happens.
If I was in Chicago, I didn't think I'd be in
Indiana. It's not as confusing as Texarkana, because I'm not sure if I'm in Texas or Arkansas. We're going to hear some more music from Natalie Gaza, who has a Kickstarter. You can find her on Kickstarter.com and search for Natalie, and she should be the first one that comes up. What are you going to sing for us next?
This is Red Wing Blackbird.
Okay.
My heart is underground, crooked teeth a mess, white whiskers piled on, past life regret. Give me a sack of Jack, Charles Atlas shrugged, peyote princess says, coming down from above. Look through the window at the red-winged blackbird. Why didn't I see her before? Rust in my blood, us from this house in the dunes. Look through the window at the red-winged blackbird. Why didn't I see her before? Look through the window. Forgiven.
I looked at Shauna.
What?
Because I wrote that about her and I kind of just stopped singing, man.
Okay.
So
there's Natalie Gaza. She just stopped singing.
She got emotional. That's okay.
And that was the big gay anthem part of it. Darn it.
She's barred from all shows now.
No, bring it back. Can you bring it back?
Can you bring it back? Or
yeah, I could. All right, I'm going to bring it back.
Bring it back.
That's the big,
All right.
you are great. No. You are a great songwriter, but my favorite lyrics are wow, 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 wow. Wow.
Guitar solo.
Good. Nailed
yes.
it.
Well, on the record, there's a real guitar on it.
yeah. Kickstarter.com. And, well, it's just, I mean, look, that's authentic. That's what that happened, you know? That's what happens with live radio. That was wonderful.
I need things. I like things keeping me humble, that's for sure.
And love. Love and live radio.
Love and love live radio. And apparently I'm being handed a beer that I'm supposed to taste.
Yeah. Don't they say in all these singing competitions that you really need to put like heart and emotion into the singing? All these people can sing so well. And then one of the things they're missing is that connectivity, that moment. And I think that was an absolute demonstration of her really caring about what she was singing.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
that was great.
I mean, I'm looking at somebody that I'm just totally in love with. And you're right about that, because the nuns, like we talked about the nuns before, it's like they didn't have that, you know, they weren't classically trained guitarists or pianists, but they had a lot of heart, you know, and they kind of taught me how to really sing. Like two chords and some words can really move you.
Mm-hmm. With passion, absolutely.
Yeah. This all just makes me think of The Sound of Music, and I'm so smiley right now. Maria on the hill with the chords and the kids.
Nuns and Music.
Nuns and Music. Dope.
Yeah, I love a deer.
Not the Carrie Underwood one.
No, absolutely not.
Why would anyone do that?
That was...
My daughter, we watched it.
Yes, and did she like it?
We were...
I
love the idea.
Right. Was there a need? I mean, would another generation not be willing to watch Julie Andrews?
No, I know, but I like the live TV idea where they did that live.
That was an incredible idea, but
the Peter Pan thing I think they're going to do, but why her? Because she's famous and that would bring in a certain amount of people.
I mean, so many people watched that. Weren't the ratings for that insane?
Oh, yeah, insane. Yeah. We watched it, too. And she wasn't good enough. And how could she be? She's not an actress. She's a good singer. But everybody was around her, but it was a great idea.
I'm all for keeping things the way they are. Mm-hmm. Just like now with the remake of Annie.
Change nothing. Okay.
With the new Annie. Now here we go. Mm-hmm. They recast the African-American child in the role.
Did it already come out?
I don't know if it's out now.
It comes out soon.
It does?
But soon.
Why can't people do things? I don't understand this.
But there's that whole...
You don't have to go see it.
Well, I don't, but
I did you not like The Wiz? You didn't like The Wiz, did you?
I don't mind The Wiz.
All right.
But don't change things.
But that's changing things.
I know.
Now they can't redo The Whiz.
Is that my fault?
The Whiz. No, The Whiz is the original.
Would that be The Wizard?
That's true, yes.
The Wizard.
The Wizard. The Wizard? Is that of the roller coaster at Great America?
Yes, probably.
Yeah, all right.
So what do you think of then the girl Captain America or whatever that's coming out?
Thor,
sorry.
Girl. Don't change things.
I don't, not geeky
How about
at
the all girl Ghostbusters, the next Ghostbusters?
I'm loving it.
Yes.
Who cares?
Do it.
Who cares?
It's not yours. You go write your own movie.
Yeah, do it.
Go write and block your own movies.
Yeah. Pay the people who created it, though.
Have you seen Thor, by the way, with like the long blonde hair? He's basically a girl right now, so it makes sense. Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it.
But do they play the stripper when he walks out? That's the question.
Oh, God.
Nobody did ride the Zamboni.
Yes.
That was nice.
Yeah. Well, that would be a thing. If they had a girl in a Zamboni wearing a bikini, why don't they just do that as well?
Zamboni sounds dirty.
Zamboni. Drive the Zamboni wearing a bikini.
Hey, baby,
why
drive
don't they just
the
change
Zamboni.
It to drag queens? And then nobody will get a just big, tough guy.
It would be really fun then, too. That would be great. Yeah.
It would be over the top. Plus, they'd probably get the puck in.
You better watch how you say that, young
what,
lady.
Did I say
something? Oh, no. As driving over here, every time you said the plucking thing,
you plucking
it
bimbos?
Sounded exactly like you were cursing.
Yeah.
I
has his finger on the button.
Is she going to be on the air when I get there?
He has his finger on that red button.
I don't think anybody, because I think that they heard the conversation that they're plucked randomly out of the audience. Yeah. And the word bimbo was tossed out by somebody else. And then we tried embracing it. Yeah. And I'm going to start a band called The Plucking Bimbos.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it does make me a little bit nervous every time I've said it now. I think I'm saying it correctly.
Yeah.
Well, you never, and when we, I did, the first time I ever met you, Brad Tassel.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say both your first and last name. So
I love it.
I need to address
Two L's and Tassel. So. Twitter me.
Mount Prospect Zanies. That's how long ago.
What year did you start doing comedy?
I don't think we need to get into that kind of information.
It's
I don't
not
think
that
that's,
long ago.
It was a long time ago.
It was not that
it
long
was
ago.
A long time ago.
Okay. That's when your password
well, no, I remember, because I remember when I was featuring Zanies. And
you were a headliner when I met you.
No, you weren't. No, I wasn't.
Yes, you
I
were.
Was, so okay. Anyway, you're killing the whole bit. So I'm going into something I just thought of, and you're killing it. So, yeah, I remember you were starting to MC and you were amazing. People were like, God, this girl, she was MC, I was featuring. And then I remember when you start featuring and I was featuring and it was amazing. And then I remember when I was featuring and then you start headlining and we're like, wow, she is incredible. And then now I remember you doing all this and then I'm featuring. So it was amazing.
That's true. None of that's true. The thing I remember about you is I remember you talking about actually about the feature acts, because it's something I didn't know as an MC was the attitude of feature acts sometimes. There's that sort of like follow that attitude.
I had that back then too.
But no, but terrible. you were a headliner.
I was not.
All right then. Well, you know,
I did headline sometimes, but I've never headlined downtown.
No, but you headlined at Mount Prospect. Do you remember headlining at Mount Prospect?
No, of course. Yeah.
Right. And you were saying your point was that if you're going to feature, you may as well be able to be a headliner and then be able to have something to back it up with.
And I've changed my mind.
Oh my gosh, I've carried that a lot around with me for so many. I'm kidding.
I've changed everything about myself.
Do you feel like you were a different dude in the 90s?
Oh my gosh, I was a jerk. I was the biggest. I have gone around apologizing for the past 5 years.
I
wasn't mean to everybody, but I was mean and awful to a lot of people.
I would say that you had very strong opinions. And I mean,
I
like
had very strong
very
opinions.
Very strong opinions.
And I was wrong 80% of the time.
Okay.
And I was just terrible, and I was just awful. And it was mostly insecurity. I mean, you can see it in my book Hell Gig, just that insecurity is so deep that it comes across as arrogance half
right.
the time.
Well, and I would say that a lot of comics suffer from that, don't they?
And I was just, and I brought that out as being mean or being a know-it-all, mm-hmm. as opposed to just being kind. And I used to do that. Like,
we are very much against kindness.
Yes. I don't know what that was. Well, Paul Gilmartin.
Time's up. Talk about kindness.
Kindness, enough of that.
No.
It's not like somebody was dialing zero on me there.
The great thing that is that you were mean and you were sober, though.
I know. I was a mean non-drunk.
I can't believe that.
Joe's takeaway is that how could you be sober and not
and
nice?
Not, well, yes.
You know what my catharsis was? Starbucks. I'd already been doing bullying stuff and had a book, and I've always thought kids deserved every occurrence. You give kids, I talk to a lot of youth detention centers now, and they like me because I respect them. I come in to respect them, and I think no kid can lose my respect. You get it the moment you see it. But adults, I never gave them a credence. If I didn't like you right away, you were a scumbag, and I were going to let you know. And then I was in Starbucks, and this girl gave me the wrong chai. And I said, this drink costs more than you make an hour, witch. I didn't say witch. And I yelled. So, and she fell apart, cried in front of me, just fell apart. And I looked in her eyes and I saw hate and fear. And I thought, why does somebody deserve that? Anybody deserve that? And she gave me she made the drink again, just in tears. And I drank every bit of saliva in the drink. And from then on, I stopped.
How'd she get saliva in her tears?
Yes.
That is the weirdest thing
I've
ever
heard.
No, I think
she turned her back when she spit in my drink. But
I see what you're saying.
But I just, that and working with kids and seeing just, you know, kids with autism and stuff like that who are the punching bags. And we drive through the McDonald's and we're screaming at the guy at the McDonald's. Mm-hmm. Kids see that and the kid with autism acts weird, so he deserves hate. Why do we even do that to adults?
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to every club I'd ever worked that hated me, because there were so many clubs back in the day that who cares who fired you, because there were 500 clubs to work. And I said, don't pay me. Let me come back and work here. And they paid me anyway. And I've tried to fix every one of those because, God, I was mean.
Wow. Well, we're going to talk some more about the work that you've been doing. We do that noise was it meant it was time for the news.
Oh.
So that's okay. That's music from Natalie Geza, who is just in the studio playing live for us, and we have some of her MP3s, and that's a song for Barbara. It was a song from her record. And we are in studio with Joseph Giannini of Two Italians. Two Italians Deli?
Two Italians Deli and Pizzeria.
Deli and Pizzeria, and Paired Wine Company, and Urban Outsitters, and all those wonderful things. And our guy.
Fun stuff.
Our guy with our...
We need a name, though.
We do need a name.
I need a name and a jingle.
A name
if we're
and a jingle.
This.
Oh, wow. He wants a name and a jingle, Brad Tassel, comedian and anti-bullying educator.
It's called what? Two Italians who?
And a deli. Well, we were previously calling. I wanted to call him my wine guy.
Yeah.
I used to have a friend.
I heard the wine fairy thing that people are offended or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, that I was told I can't call. Will Durst told me I could not call him the wine fairy. He was, you can't call him that.
Why does Will Durst get to tell you these things?
I don't know, but I value his opinion highly.
Yeah, no, he's very funny. Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yes. And he lives in San Francisco.
We
so
did the
I don't
New
know
Orleans
if that really
comedy festival together.
Oh, you so. Did.
Mm-hmm.
He's one
it
of my
was terrible.
He was terrible. Or the festival
no,
was
no,
terrible.
The festival was terrible. They lost everything. When we get there, we're there to do this, and they had all these venues, and we got there, and everything got canceled.
Oh my! How did it, what?
They just it was people organizing it screwed it up, and they lost every. And so we all just did one show in some bar, and then we all went home.
Oh wow! Had they paid for your travel at least or anything? Nothing.
We didn't get any of that.
Well, how long ago was that?
Oh no, it's 15 years.
When least. You were still an angry comic.
Yeah,
well, still,
I was angry.
Still yelling at people.
Durst and I had a lot of fun, though.
Well, he's such a good guy.
Oh, he's so
he's
nice.
A lot of fun. We were talking to Brad about, I don't even know, it's. I'm having a little bit of trouble adjusting because I don't know. I knew you as some, well, no, because I met you in Mount Prospect as mm-hmm. a guy with a very strong opinions about things. And out of all the comics, I only worked with you once, really, mm-hmm. that one week in Mount Prospect. Yeah. And for some reason, you've always stuck out in my mind. And here's why. Absolutely brilliant on stage.
I mean, funny. No, absolutely. I was. I'm different.
Not just funny.
I'm different funny now.
Not just funny. Like we had a light crowd one night, and mm-hmm. you went on a riff about you know it's not we're not gonna you we're talking about how we're not gonna be mad at those people for not showing up. We're gonna give you the show you deserve because
See,
you're here.
That
I
is,
always remember that.
That is one thing I've always done. I've never liked comics who attacked the crowd.
They punished
for
the audience.
Showing up
yes.
and being there. Now I've been a guy that if you talked, I'm only alive today. Because the manager's gun was faster than the guy who went to shoot me once. That's how mean I've been to the crowd. But
where was that?
Anderson, Indiana.
Okay.
Oddly enough, many years ago. And just, he wouldn't be quiet. And mm-hmm. you pay attention to me. You must pay. Now I don't care. Talk. I'll do it. You know, whatever. I'm fine.
Do you riff with the talkers?
Sure, maybe. But nicely. I'm not mean to anybody anymore.
Okay.
I just can't. I don't want to see. And I don't want to use the crowd for that.
Right.
Now I'm going to sit up. So, and it works so much better. I just worked with a guy. And these people they had cupcakes and they were talking at their earlier party. And I talked about the cupcakes and engaged them for a second. And then they didn't want to talk. His immediately went, shut the. And so they started yelling back and they kicked everybody a big fight. You know?
Yeah, I go out into the crowd and I talk to people and I try sure. to figure out what they're doing. The MC I saw recently told the audience, somebody said something and she immediately went to F you.
Oh my gosh.
And like it started the whole show. And I was so I was like, oh wow, that's an interesting place.
I used to attack people's soul like you should not raise children. You are the worst person in the world. Mm-hmm. You have no value as a human being because you are mm-hmm. being rude in my crowd. And people would literally cry and get up and leave and call and scream. And I said, why am I doing that? No matter who it is. And now, never hurt anybody ever. But
because of the girl at Starbucks that you made cry because of the wrong chai.
And because of the bullying thing and the kids and just seeing so much pain that no one deserves it. Even people who aren't nice.
Right. And let's say this. You know, when someone says something and they don't even realize it, I mean, like, there's, yeah. you know, sometimes we just say things because we don't even realize it.
Your brain slips away, man.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes back. So, but back then, but I'm still funny. I'm just not as rude and stuff like that. And I still believe that. Boy, what you just said. I still believe that.
What, believe what?
That the crowd, you don't attack the people who are there. You give, I don't care if there's, I did a one-nighter in nowhere. Because mm-hmm. for years, I just worked for Carnival because it paid a ton of money. No clubs. And then I came back and I missed 8 people in a thing. And I went and this guy's just complaining. And I said, don't do the show. And there was 6 people in the crowd. 6.
Right.
And I said, they're fun. They're great.
They showed up.
They showed up. They're nice.
They chose to be here.
You do your jokes. You don't mm-hmm. make, you know, well, you don't get me. You know, I just worked with a guy. He was featuring up way north. And he's, yeah, this crowd's old and doesn't get me. They don't know what I'm talking about. So they're not laughing. Well, tell them that and they're right. not gonna
exactly you know. That was something and I think because my brain was still forming when I worked with you
uh-huh.
And that was always something that stuck with me was to not punish a crowd that shows up
you yeah. agreed. I was at a show that you I want to say maybe donated your time to or it was at Zany's
oh at the breast cancer awareness
yes,
yes.
And
really small crowd super small
I mean like yeah. 4 of us. I was there. But no, you came out and you didn't come out. I mean, they played the music like if it was a mm-hmm. crowd of 200 and you came out on stage like if it was a crowd of 200 and you said,
it's because of Brad Tassel.
We're not going to treat people that way. But what about the people who have made their careers, like the Pudgies of the world who just used to go out and person to person and just be mean?
Well, that's their act. Rickles. Mm-hmm. But that people are there for that. You know what I mean?
And I guess you're expecting it. That's why you go like to, what was it, the restaurant where they treat you bad?
And the Bevics and Dick's Last Resort.
But that's their show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when I was in Vegas, I did 7 months. I had my own little show in Vegas. I did one lady. She mm-hmm. made $60. She paid the full VIP price. And they're like, what do you want to do? Bring her in.
Yeah.
She and I sat there for, well, you decorated cookies in the first part of my show. So we decorated cookies. we decorated cookies and then we moved to the show and we did that. And I did it just for her.
That's so lovely.
I know.
Yeah. That's so
you always want a show where you decorate cookies. It was so much fun.
I always want to have a show where you decorate cookies.
I said I loved having a show. We decorated cookies before the show.
Where did you get the equipment and the
It all in. I brought in cookies and icing and we'd set up. I was in this little small showroom. Then we moved to the Rio and we couldn't do it really anymore and I didn't like it. So I quit. But anyway, I just brought it all in and people would come in and I said, look, I'm going to talk to everybody. And we would sit around these tables. Mm-hmm. The whole room only sat 75 people and we would decorate cookies and then I would read their cookies. It was comic therapy and I would tell them about themselves with their cookies and then we'd move to the showroom and then they would sit like an audience and we would do a show.
Wow.
It was so much fun. I wish I liked Vegas in any way and it paid real money. Then I'd have done it forever.
Right. Yeah. No, neither one of those things is true.
Yeah. Terrible.
Yeah. When I met you, I think you were doing cruise ships as well. Were you doing cruise ships?
No.
No, that wasn't
I didn't
you.
Start cruise ships till 2002.
Okay, so it wasn't around then. We're catching up with comedian and anti-bullying educator Brad Tassel. Was that better, educator?
Sure. Sure.
All right, then.
Don't feed the bully is what we always
say. Don't feed the bully.
Just go to that.
Let's talk a little bit about that when we come back. And also, Joseph Giannini is in the studio with me with a ton of food.
Grapes on pizza.
Did you like the grapes on pizza?
That is my new thing.
All right, grapes on pizza. We're going to have some more of that. I haven't tried that yet.
It's like grapes and cheese and bread.
All right, grapes and cheese and bread. I'm going to have some
and
of that.
Wine.
Well,
garlic.
I don't need any more of that. We'll see what happens. That's la la la. Is it three laws or two laws? What do you got, Craig? Two laws. That's a la la by our musician who was in the studio just a little while ago, Natalie Geza. You can go to Kickstarter.com and help her finish her album. We have in studio with us Brad Tassel and Joseph Giannini. And Joseph has brought us a lot of food from Two Italians Deli and Pizzeria and some lovely beverages as well. None of which, almost none of, even the food. Brad's only wanting some of the grape pizza. That's all.
Well, I don't eat the meat. So
don't eat. Are you a vegetarian?
Yeah, I'm a vegetarian. It's not about the animals. I'll club a baby seal and have a salad. I'll literally sit next to a dead whale and rub my edamame for the salt. But no, I'm just kidding.
Those are images.
People get mad at me when I talk like that. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm the one not eating meat. You're the one killing the animals.
There's some very vivid images that you're
Yeah, I know. But yes. No, my wife and I decided a year ago, just her health and we want to be healthy, that meat wasn't fitting in health-wise. And it has. Her blood pressure, mine, has dropped to nothing.
Really?
And, zero. All literally zero.
How about fish?
We do eat.
I don't know if your blood pressure should be zero, but I think we all know that.
I still eat tuna and salmon and stuff like that. Shrimp has a lot of cholesterol in it, so we stopped basically eating a lot of that. But
look at Joseph.
I love raw. Joseph, raw. We eat all raw.
He just turned his nose up.
I'm Italian, and that's all very offensive.
I grew up, my grandmother full Italian. I ate it all growing up, and now I'm telling you right now.
I stay away from that fish stuff. Ugh.
Oh. Wait a minute. How did you do that on Facebook? I put a post up that you were on my show, and then you were able to put a picture in the comment. I don't even know how you do that. I can't do those kinds of special. I'm sorry. Let's move from food.
Have you been to Italy? How much have you been to Italy?
I'm easily distracted.
You just add it. You put like, it's like you make a little comment.
Brad, I'm going to need you to add your picture to. I'm just kidding.
I don't know what the heck you guys are doing. How did we get on this? We're driving right now. Hey, wait, for the car.
I looked over. We were talking about food, and you were asking Joseph if he's been to Italy. Have you been to Italy?
I've not. You know what? You want to hear something really sad?
No, I don't.
I've not been out of the U.S. unless you count Niagara Falls.
Oh. Well, on the American side, we don't count it. Did you go to the other side?
I did go to the other side.
Well, then you've been to Canada.
Well, you didn't need a passport then.
You don't need a passport to go to Canada, no.
You still don't?
No, you don't. Really? You need a passport now?
I think you do.
I thought now you do.
I think you do now.
Back then you didn't.
But Italy, fish, very matter of fact, we were in, I was on this little island in Italy, and we went to a restaurant, and you just sit there for like 5 hours, and they just keep bringing food, and fish is a big,
part of it.
Fish.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The bacalao is, I'm okay.
The what?
The fish.
The bacalao?
Yeah.
Is that how you say fish?
Well, one of the ways. Oh, okay. Type of fish.
I like the raw tuna, raw salmon.
I just had
eat
some.
It all day.
I had some sashimi when I was at Kamahache, which is across the street from Zany's.
Oh, yeah. No, I love
that's
that.
That's good stuff.
Give you a full update on getting into Canada. You can get in just fine without a passport. You can't come back.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
you
good.
Need a passport to come back.
If you don't have one, make some plans.
So they let you
go
in,
to
but they don't let you out.
Yes.
Yeah, a U.S. citizen can go to Canada without issue. It's just the coming back that's a problem.
No, they're very friendly in Canada.
Apparently
they don't have warehouses of American children up there.
We just got our U.K. We're moving to England.
You are moving?
For 5 months.
Okay.
Till December 21st. And boy, getting those visas. So she's a professor, so she'll be at the university, but so I could work and stuff like that. Whew, that was a process.
A lot of
you
hoops.
Would not believe. A lot of hoops, a lot of worry, a lot of thing. You don't know if you're getting it. They just say, we don't tell you if you don't get it. And
it'll be a surprise.
It'll be a surprise. And I got about 3 weeks clubs booked, like 5 nights. And then if I don't do well, that'll be it. If I do okay, they might ask me to do more.
Where in England are you?
We're moving
be?
To, hey, look it up, Grantham in Harlixton Manor. We're going to live in a castle. Look
what?
That up.
I love that.
Yeah, we're going to live in a castle. It's beautiful. My daughter's going to go to like a Hogwartsian all girls art and music and drama school.
That's wild.
It is going to be phenomenal. Yeah, it is one of the, and we're just going to go to a bunch of countries.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, wait, didn't you say you went to Berlin?
Not Germany.
No, there's a
nightclub at Belmont and Sheffield.
Oh my God, you were telling me that. I was like, man, this guy's worldly.
He's
you're
like
setting your Berlin at
Hedwig
17
and the English
and
going on.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I did not fled. I
no,
did not
in
flee 80, the country.
In 89, back before you guys were born, my brother and I called him in November. I said, the wall's coming down. We're going to Germany for New Year's.
Yes.
We went to Berlin, New Year's, Germany, when the wall came down. I'm on the wall, midnight. 3-5 million people just having a ball. It was so amazing.
I've been to Berlin on New Year's Eve, too, mm-hmm. but at Belmont and Sheffield.
But Belmont.
Stumbled my drunk butt onto the train and took it home.
It was the quietest evening of dancing for me. Nobody bothered me for
they do,
once.
They do anti-New Year's Eve parties
do
there.
They?
It's been kind of fun. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. What's anti-New Year's?
They don't celebrate the countdown. There's none of that.
No. There's still jubilation and glee, which is there every night.
It's there every night. They don't need it.
They don't need it.
Better than the actual Berlin.
I know. Probably. minus the 3 million
I've got pieces of the wall laying around.
There were probably like 60 That's people great. The night I was there.
Well, and the wall is like 10 feet wide, and there was thousands of us on the wall, standing on top of this wall, just and it would move, and people just throw an M80 in the crowd, and you have to run. It was really...
Was David Hasselhoff still there?
He was singing about a half a mile north of where we were, and we were very happy that he was a half a mile north
of where
we were.
You could not hear.
He was singing.
I love that David Hasselhoff and Linda Carter sing.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the wall. I didn't know that Linda Carter was part of the
Linda
the
Carter,
fall.
Wonder Woman.
I think they were part of Pink Floyd. They sang the wall.
I think you're right about that.
Hasselhoff.
That might be accurate.
David Hasselhoff and Linda Carter.
He didn't know
the
that Linda Carter was a singer.
Yeah, she would spin around, get
yes.
the suit.
And sing at the
she
same time.
She sang at Market that, Days.
It's actually
of
her
all
superpower.
Places.
Did you hear her sing?
I did not hear her sing. This year there
did
were
you
a
avoid
lot of
it?
Big names there.
Oh.
This year. There was, what's her name? Mary Lambert?
I don't know. Who's Mary Lambert?
Wow. Oh, my God. Not Mary Lambert.
I don't know who that is. I don't really know who she is either. I thought you guys might know.
Wow. No.
Okay.
You know. Craig, Mary
and
Lambert.
And Joanne Johnson was there.
Moving on.
Carol McClurg.
And some guy named Tassel with two S's
Lambert
or two L's.
From Seattle. She's a singer-songwriter from Seattle.
Oh, that Mary.
Mary.
She married the 13-year-old boy. Oh, no, that's Mary J. Letourneau.
Mary.
Sorry.
So she can't walk in the room.
This is all.
Everybody calls her.
I don't know what's happening.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
We were going to talk about something.
She won an MTV Movie Award, just to let you guys know.
MTV
a video
for what movie?
And has never
video.
Been in a movie.
For best social message in a video.
There you go.
And what was that message?
I don't remember that part.
Wow. So that seems like a specific award.
I was going to say, that's a really...
Yeah.
Specific.
Very specific.
Best social message.
Especially from MTV, messaging. The social message is 16, get pregnant. That's the social
yes.
message they're pushing.
And girl code, guy code. There's a lot of good information. Is that on VH1 or MTV? I think it's on MTV.
I haven't had MTV on it.
Yeah,
since 82.
It's not for us. It's
yeah,
not for
I was.
What are they? The Real World, isn't that coming here?
Is it coming
they're
back?
They're filming.
They've
I got to call it the restaurant.
Is there still
Decatur.
A Real World?
I think there is.
Decatur, wow.
Yeah, they wanted us to cater. She never called me back, though. Whatever.
Decatur it?
Yeah,
oh.
whatever.
Oh.
For the
I was on MTV in like 94, the Jenny McCarthy show. I flew out to L.A., and they brought me in to play an insurance salesman in a little movie that Bob Odenkirk directed. And so that was great. And they said, stay and be in a bunch of scenes. So I went to the TV station, and they were, you're too old. Don't be in this. You can't be in that.
In 94, you were too old?
In 94, because I was 30 or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, I was 32.
And you looked young. You looked young now.
Yeah, and I looked young, but I was too old for these scenes. And then they dressed me as a native And I sat for 7.5 hours waiting to do one. And I said, I quit.
In a loincloth or something?
In a loincloth.
Yeah.
And I said, I quit. And they said, you'll never be here again. I said, that's good. I'm gonna go work Decatur at the Holiday Inn. I so much would rather do that.
Isn't it strange when you have that moment? I had a moment on a set where I was sitting there for like 10 hours and somebody was just cruel and mean next to me, just like yelling and like cussing at everybody on the set. And I thought, can I do this for the next, 6 to 8 years?
I've got a pilot. I've got a show for you.
Oh.
That I just wrote.
Okay.
It's a sitcom.
Are you shopping it?
I haven't got it all down yet, but I'll shop it to you right now. Nobody can steal this now. We were at one of those oases on the highway, right? Up here with all the Starbucks and all that. So it's one of those, right? And you, this is perfect, are like the manager. You run this thing. And then you've got all these wacky kind of different cultural people that own these little things. And you run the whole thing. And you've got to kind of keep their battles. And it's like a sitcom funny thing.
Okay.
But you also keep all these social battles going between these people.
All right.
I could so see Patty managing.
You're very Chicago-y,
Oasis kind of. Plaza.
A little bit. You're going to have to put on the Chicago-y thing a bit.
I can put on the Chicago-y thing.
You just have to promise me there's an Annie Ann's.
There are. You'd have to go through who's going to want to be involved and stuff like that. But yeah, Annie's, Starbucks, Subway, McDonald's.
Panda Express,
whoever's
Sparrow.
There. It would have to be a different looking set that's smaller. Maybe you'd have to have a Greek place, though, because you want some Greek, and then you'd want some people that are from India, and you'd want some people from, because you'd want a real nice mix of fun people, and then
I like it.
I have this idea, but I hadn't thought of who would ever star in it, because I know I'm not right for any of those things. But
well, hold on one second. What do you want to do here, Craig? Should we do we have a bedtime news story, but we're trying to figure out where it fits because there's so much going on. I don't know what to do. It's too confusing. You're listening to Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.
Good night, my angel. Time to close your eyes and save these questions for another day. I think I know what you...
On this Friday morning, we've decided it's time to bring back the bedtime news story because I think that was an incredibly long, exhausting week filled with so much news that most of us couldn't digest it. And I put out a call to my writing partner, who is brilliant and a pleasure to work with, and I asked him if he could sum up the week. And he said, you know what? I got something for you. This is from Kevin Cleary. That was the week that sucked. From Middle East to Middle West, this past week was not the best. Bad news, sadness, shock, dismay. Did we have to get some every day? Ukraine is mine, says Vladimir Putin. Now that country's filled with shooting. Israel, Gaza, fight eternal divide. The world dares you to pick a side. Here's looking at you, Lauren Bacall, whistling at bogey. You taught us all. Robin Williams made us laugh, broke our hearts in half. Dead Poet, Aladdin, The Fisher King, Moscow Morgue, Goodwill Hunting. Robin made us cry, laugh, and feel, but his inner pain would not heal. Then, when all this had us reeling, a boy is shot, accused of stealing. Protesters take to the street in Missouri. Shock troops, tanks arrived in a hurry. Tear gassing, arresting reporters or cops. Suddenly, everyone in the country stops. Citizens point their fingers and say, this is America. We don't do it this way. This isn't Tiananmen. In this country, we try to fight fair. Tanks and tear gas may give cops the night, but the Constitution gives us all civil rights. 5 lousy days that had us running for cover. Let's hope the worst of it all now is over. Don't we all want this week to just go away? Say it with me now. Thank God it's Friday.
Good night, my angel. Now it's time to dream.
You're listening to Pretty Late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We have a program change for Sunday night. I might make it. I don't know what's happening on Sunday night. I'm supposed to be here 6 nights a week. Brad Tassel, comedian and anti-bullying educator.
That's wonderful.
I like being here 6 nights a week. I have a lot to say.
This is a neat kind of thing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
There usually isn't this much booze. I know it looks like we've got booze all over the place.
No, I haven't thought about that.
There's not that much booze. Don't make it sound like you're...
No, but I mean, like, I'm self-conscious because it looks like I've got, like, beer bottles everywhere when I've been tasting...
There's, like, a sip out of each of them.
We've definitely had more booze in the studio before for shows. There's been
yes.
more.
Am I slacking? I'm sorry.
No. I'm sampling with what we were eating. You brought a Poppering's Hommel Ale? Hommel Ale?
Yeah, so I tried to bring stuff that was like, you know, a little That's beer goes more so with the mushroom onion pizza because it has a little pepper behind it, if you will.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, everything's little,
but it's Belgium, so it also has that creaminess to it.
Yeah,
a little citrus.
It's a little skunky, though, too. And
I don't think I never have thought that skunky was a good way to describe.
That's like describing.
I wonder why, Brad Tessel.
I'm not eating anything skunky or peppery.
Would you like to drink some wine that is described as cat's pee?
No.
Why would I do that?
Or barnyard?
No.
No.
Wet hay?
No.
Yeah. Stinky old lady wig. That's not really one, but
Lucille Ball feet.
Lucille Ball feet.
That's a good vintage.
Oh, it's Arnaz.
It's Arnaz. That works out perfectly.
Actually, Arnaz in Italian means a little rascal, and they call it the Arnaz grape because it's so hard to grow. Actually.
Okay,
but little rascal.
Little rascal. Little rascal. It's a very complicated grape.
Yes,
and. Brad, when did you start doing the educating aspect of your career
I've always been involved in education. I was 20 years ago, I was more than 20, almost 30, I was the assistant director of a gifted camp for kids for 10 years. And I'm just during the summer, part of the summer, mm-hmm. I was still stand-up. I've always done stand-up full-time.
Right.
But then I did a book on character ed, and I've always been involved in schools. And from doing mime from high school. But then the whole bullying thing started. I was writing a detective novel anyway for kids. And then a man threatened to kill me in an airport. And it's a long story. So anyway, and I just decided we're going the wrong way. No tolerance is not the way to do bullying. This thing in
zero tolerance, you mean, where they have these policies?
Policies where a kid points his finger at somebody who's out for 10 years. And that's not the way to go. And just screaming and it's like this Missouri thing. It's like schools. Authoritative things don't work.
They came in with a military
guidance,
style. Yeah.
Guidance, solutions, respect. These are the kind of things you need to start with. So I wanted a thing that was more about the kids advocating for themselves. The whole concept of don't feed the bully, the whole book. It's a detective novel, but that alone should tell you something. What are you doing that can help yourself? Not that bullying's good, not that it's right, but what can you do that's a better vaccine for yourself? Because I was not a good bully target. I fixed the guy in the airport without us all going to jail, which I could have done. But I fixed that by staying calm, assessing violence. What's the chances of violence? Having a thick skin and a sense of humor. We have such thin skins in the world. But if we can thicken up that skin, get that comic skin a little bit, we're going to be able to weather things a lot better.
What do you mean by, like, comic skin? If someone says
Comedians. You're right. A lot of comedians have very thin skin. But
we do. But isn't that strange?
Isn't that weird? But yeah. I am unoffendable. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. I can get mad and I don't like it, but I'm not going to be offended. It's not going to hurt me. It's not going to dig into my soul.
Right.
It'll make me think different about myself.
So, or the person that says it to you.
The person. Well, I may not like them either. I used to be worse.
Right.
Really, revenge. I want, you know, it's like humiliation's a great motivator. No, I just want revenge.
And I have to go back to the person I knew such a long time ago. And it was just a brief week because, like, I thought that you were opinionated, but you have that, like, was it that you were extremes? Because, like, you seem to also be optimistic, mm-hmm. but opinionated. And you were talking about how much anger you had toward people, but you had so many positive messages.
Well, and now I've switched that around. My show is totally positive now.
Right.
But I still have that. You know, we're talking about Robin Williams dying. I've spent 25 years having somebody every show come up and say, you look like Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Death to Smoochie Robin Williams.
No. But, gosh. Nobody has mentioned Death to Smoochie. Nobody. Not all week has mentioned.
And I just was totally thinking that since the moment he walked in the door and rude of me to even say that.
Yeah.
I thought that. But sure.
But for 25 years. So the last two nights, I'm on stage thinking this is weird, and a guy tonight goes, well, you still look like Ellen, so that's nice. But
I think it's also your energy, which must lend itself so
right.
well to the work that you do in schools.
Well, especially because when I walk in, they're interested, they're entertained, but they're also, it's going to be seriously, you're going to learn what to do and what the real meaning of bullying is and empathy. All my research over the last 2 years and to finish my master's was all on getting that perception out there. Because just because a kid's not really being bullied to the nth degree, they may think so.
Mm-hmm.
Danville, Ashlyn Connor, she's dead. She wasn't being bullied that hard. It's not a big deal. To her, it was.
Yes.
now she's dead. We need to intervene with that without making a big hullabaloo, but getting them to understand on whatever level it is.
So you're saying not to intervene with the bullies, but intervene
No, we need to do interventions
both,
of some
but not
sort,
just.
But
I'm
at
saying,
all levels.
Yes, I'm saying not just with stopping the bullying, but also to intervene with the kids who are feeling it so intensely.
Yeah. Well, my new program is called I'm Going to Write That Down. It's a whole school program, and it gives kids one thing to do always if they feel like there's bullying. I've changed the definition of bullying for mm-hmm. kids in schools. If something's going on that they don't like and it hurts them and they want it to stop, that's it. If it's kicking your chair every day, if it's poking you in the back of the head on the bus, if it's saying this, if you don't like it and you want it to stop, we need to figure out a way to stop it. Now, that doesn't mean punishment. Matter of fact, there's very little punishment in the program until way in. But it means some sort of intervention and someone recognizes your perception.
Right.
And then you may need therapy. You may need help in another way. It may not even be the kid you think's bullying you, but we need to figure out what's going on with that kid.
Right.
And it's pretty simple to do once you start doing it, and it makes teachers' lives easier. That's
yes.
the best thing about the program. So I want everyone to go get it. It's free right now,
by
the way.
And how do you help them with perception as far as when something hurts?
I'm just saying, that's why if I'm in a school and I'm a kid and every kid knows that there's one – that's why it's called I'm going to write that down, because if anybody does anything I don't like that hurts me, they call me a name, they're poking me in the head – they say one thing. I'm going to write that down. Because nobody says that in the world.
Right.
In another way. And then they write it down. There's a process of kids advocating for themselves. And once they feel supported, they will take responsibility, which is what we found in schools that have done studies on this program. Once they feel supported, because kids say, there's great research that says that kids feel like, you know what stops bullying? Kids feel like, number one, the other kid matures.
Mm-hmm.
That you're going to get help or support from the school is number 5 on the list.
Right.
That because kids don't feel supported.
No.
But in this program, it's easy to support the kids. They're supported in every way, and an evidence trail is created, and it stops tattling too. That's the best. So schools, if you want to stop tattling, this is the program, because when kids come to tattle, he's bullying me, the teacher's going to stop and say, write it down.
Right.
Write it down. Now, I always tell kids, your teacher has a master's degree. If somebody's bleeding on the ground, they're going to go help them.
Right.
But if you're just coming up to say, he called me this or that, they're going to say, write it down. They're going to give you the form. You fill it out. And if you come up to talk to a teacher, and this is for everybody, if your kids come up to you, if your kids come up and they want to tell you something about something, they better know who they're helping.
Right.
Not who is going to get hurt or who's doing the wrong thing. Who right now are you helping by telling me this? It could be you. It could be somebody else. But if you're not telling me somebody that's being helped,
how can I help?
You probably just need to write it down, and I'll read it later, and we'll figure out how to do it. You know, and it really, after a while, kids really learn how to advocate for themselves, do things on an evidence-based thing, because a lot of states have laws now, and then the teachers have a chance to only deal with problems when they're problems, as opposed to every kid with the thing, and it makes it all a lot easier in the school. And everybody knows, it's totally clear, when somebody feels like they're being bullied. Because kids, you know, first graders I love, what's bullying? It's when you punch somebody in the face 50 times. Well, no. Does that happen at this school? Or people, you know, in most schools it doesn't. So,
right.
So they have to learn really what bullying is. And it's not about the physical for most schools. Some it is, but
it's the emotional torment.
Yeah, you know, because your eye's going to heal in a week, man. But
mm-hmm.
but that emotional stuff, if it goes on for long enough, kids' brains stop developing and post-traumatic stress will set in.
Mm-hmm.
27% of kids go through post-traumatic stress. So
I know, I'm scarred.
Well, when did we start this bullying thing? I guess I was just a lucky little kid because I remember from the very first moment that I remember, I was kind of, you know, I had the nice hair, I played with the girls, I had the Barbie dolls. Like, I can look back and go, I was a gay little boy. Like, as far back as I can remember, I was gay. Like, I never really did anything that was straight.
Nobody bullies them.
Well, it was funny because I don't remember getting bullied. And if I did get bullied, I think that
it just rolled off of you?
Well, there were so many supportive people in my life, like, that were like, you know, I remember somebody saying that I had to go see a psychologist or a psychiatrist or yeah. something to you know, work through the gay thing. And I remember either my mother or somebody said, there's nothing wrong with
him. But like, that's the difference right there.
And I think I was
okay. I wasn't a good bully target. People tried. I dealt with it really well. First, I looked like a kind of a girl. I was in 8th, 9th grade. I was still looked 9. You look like a girl. I said, do you want a date?
See, and that was me. I think I came out of the closet
never got to bullying level.
Wow.
I just let people, like, every time. It was like money to me, though. Every time you came to me with something bad, like, I was ready to quick fire back at you. Like you said, you want
to
date?
The
sure.
The point is, can
are you gay?
I,
why are you asking?
Can I, and this is what this book does in a lot of ways, can I give that to kids who don't have that? And that's because this book, it all came from dealing especially with kids with Asperger's when we still had Asperger's things and trying to get those kids to do a little smarter things for themselves because we were coming to a point where they were bullied so subtly that they were the ones getting in trouble. The kids who were being hurt were the ones acting nuts and the school was tired of them.
Wow.
Tired of them. So,
sounds like you have a lot of good solutions.
But you never got to the bullying thing. See, the problem is, yeah, people are up to here with bullying right now, but that's because they think everything is bullying. We really need – my main point is, are you scared to be there? If you're scared to be in the school, we need to fix that. Other than that, you're right. Kids are jerks. Kids are mean. Kids are idiots. But if you're not scared to be there and you're not being hurt on it, then you need to learn to deal with your own problems,
man. I love that you're saying that because I think the bully word, like when I hear it now, I cringe a little bit because I'm like, bully, but like, bully. It was like when you fell down, your parents would say, you're stupid. Don't fall down. You know,
well,
stand up.
And for some people, that's
so
great.
Bleeding.
But some people aren't going to deal
it's
with that as well.
You said it's perception.
It's perception. And if they're if it's somebody who does say that, and then you deal with them differently, and you try to teach them how it's like again with kids with Asperger's, they don't get the humor as much, they don't get the sarcasm. So like
the subtlety of it, right?
The subtlety, but you can teach it to them, you can get them to learn different things. You work with people on
it. It's not intended to hurt your feelings. It's something that someone says that's just whatever they're saying.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. No. We're talking to Brad Tassel, who's a comedian and a anti-bullying educator. Well, he's an educator. I think just educator, and he specializes in anti-bullying programs. Joseph Giannini from Two Italians and Deli and Pizzeria.
You know, it's Two Italians is cute.
Two Italians.
That's the website, twoitalians.com.
Well, then why don't
I got that website? I love that.
I love that. We have a new segment that we're going to introduce. I know it's a little bit late, but we're going to get to this. I know. We've got so much to talk about. Our friend, comedian Will Durst, is going to be doing a weekly commentary on our show, and here's the first one.
Hey, guys. Will Durst here with a few choice words about one of the most awkward meetings since Kane attended Abel's funeral. Talking about Barack Obama and the woman rummaging through his closet trying on his presidential pants, Hillary Clinton. The two of them ran into each other at a lawn party at a golf club in Martha's Vineyard the other day. And what could be more working man than that? Lawn party, golf club, Martha's Vineyard. Think we've triangulated the 1% exacta here. Imagine everybody had pastel sweaters tied around their necks as well, munching on canapes. The source of the ungainliness was Ms. Clinton herself, who, in an interview with The Atlantic magazine, described our Syrian policy as a disaster, then said, "Don't do stupid stuff is not an organizing principle," obviously referring to some past politician whose name is synonymous with shrub, but throwing the current president under the same wheels of that big bus. This is not new news. Most of America thinks that Obama's foreign policy is a lot like Malaysian Air frequent flyer miles. Sure, they both exist on paper, but nobody's really all that interested. A spokesperson said that Hillary looked forward to hugging it out when she and the chief executive met. Yeah, Can see that approaching embrace, to hug or not to hug. Probably as graceful as tumbling dumpsters. Problem is, Hillary and Barack are the past and the future of the Democratic Party. It's like one of those velvet handcuff relationships you see so much in San Francisco these days, where neither person can afford to move up because both incomes are necessary to cover the rent. She needs him to seamlessly insert her into his vast fundraising machine, and he needs her to make sure his legacy is not wiped out in a Tea Party tsunami. Strange bedfellows indeed. Who needs a hug? For Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, I'm Will Durst.
You're listening to Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, and that was our commentary by Will Durst, and we're very happy to welcome him to the show every week. And I was going to go to what we meant to get to, but I'm not sure if these are appropriate topics. Because you were, Brad, you were always a clean comic.
I'm I was real clean for a while, and now I like visiting adult topics.
Do you
like,
really?
Well, and I do. Yeah, isn't no, it, I mean, it's been a comedy show.
It's not right that I'm carrying that for so long because it's been since the 90s.
I was very clean, and then I got so clean for a while, and now no, I like to mix
dabble.
It up. Throw the F word in every
Ooh,
once
no.
in a while. I almost
Don't
rarely
try it here.
Say it. No, I'm not going to try it here. I'm not going to try it
It's
here.
After midnight.
But no, my family shows. I do a lot of kid stuff too. But
sure.
But I like to talk about the marriage and sexuality and stuff like that and stuff like that. It's really I enjoy it.
Isn't it marriage and lack thereof sexuality?
No, that's not true.
No,
especially
I'm working on
after
that, by
a while
the way.
When you
Are
really
you?
Work mm-hmm. on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my wife and I've come to it evolves in a great way, and you add things and you say, and then you're right, some things you got to keep working on it, because mm-hmm. what happens is things for women especially change, but you got to find a new tactic and a new thing, and it's kind of fun, a new area, a new thing.
I know nothing about this. You're in a headlight again, sorry.
That's true. He's just got the one thing.
I'm a ha.
I tried out something new. I tried out, and I don't know if I should just. Oh, we have a regular guest on the show, Charisma Matarang.
You tried her
seven.
Out, too. That is great.
No,
in your marriage.
She
wow.
brought me a gift when I was in Los Angeles. She brought me marijuana lube that I decided.
Nice. Yes.
They're making lube out of it now?
Yes.
I'm in the wrong
what?
Business.
Yes.
That's my
it's
fourth business, by the way.
And
for
I and we were
tongue?
Speculating
I don't
that it.
Know.
No, but we were speculating for the vagina. We were speculating that it would be. Fun for gay men as well. We speculate because it's. I mean, it absorbs through the skin.
So there's THC.
Oh wow!
Yes. So
talk about absorption. If you want to talk about gay men absorbing, that'd be even more absorption.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that was.
You get high like that.
There, wow. I'm saying.
Wow.
Now your eyes are. You're no more deer in the headlights. You're
well,
like,
see, no. Now I'm intrigued.
Here's the point. As we get older, it's like. Everything seems kind of cooler, you know. Yeah,
sure. Marijuana,
take that, try that, put that there. Take this, wrap that. Oh, let's wrap that. Oh, tie that off.
I have been with my partner.
I've been
totally in a relationship
with Brad Tassel.
It sort of sounds like Brad Tassel works at a deli too. By the way,
yeah,
I really
need a job.
If that was sexual, or if he was just part of a deli.
That's right.
I think he just made an Italian sub.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I ordered a whole thing or something.
Sir, I no longer
know mayo.
You.
No mayo.
Lots of oil, though. Lots of oil.
So you've been 14
and a little
years.
Vinegar.
You've been 14.
15 years.
Years
in a relationship.
15 years.
19 years in a relationship.
And I've been married 21. We've been together about 25, and it's better. I just. I'm scared of other people. I can't watch. And I'm getting to the point
where you're scared of other people.
Like any touching, like to think about women and having.
Oh, I see.
Having it's kind of weirds me out.
When you're not supposed to.
Well, and I know, but
not that, I mean, not supposed to. You could fantasize, you know, but you don't fantasize. You're saying
no. I mean, I guess I fantasize a little, but young, I can't.
No.
I 28. A girl better be over 28 or she is just not doing the right. She needs
If she's
college.
In your dreamland, she's got to have a degree.
Last year I got hired just for fun. I've been doing these arenas where I host these and MC these big cheerleading events because I went in to talk to parents and kids about not being jerks to each other at these events. And these high school girls, and I'm like, they're not wearing enough clothes.
Yeah.
What a terrible man I am. I used to be a guy, hey, look at that.
No,
big.
I think a lot I of, can't. I think because girls are getting so, I mean, like, I'm guessing the cheerleading outfits are even more risque than they used to be.
Oh, even the normal ones, I'm like, this is, no, you need sweatpants.
Stop twirling. Stop twirling.
Overalls for all the cheerleaders.
Chest
it's a movement.
You.
Oh, I had
Back
kids.
To the stripper. There
I
you
had
go.
Two kids now walk out to me and go, can we do a twerking contest? No, you can't. And you can never say or do twerking again. Stop it. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, what is wrong
There's no
you.
Twerking. We don't do stripper things in the world.
Mm-hmm. I do have to do that. I have to do this. But we'll twerk during the break.